available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The dispute continues over an American military strike in western Iraq yesterday in which dozens of people were killed. Survivors have given Britain's Guardian newspaper harrowing accounts of a massacre by U.S. troops in which peaceful wedding participants were bombed in their beds, and those who went outside, including women and children, were shot one by one by American soldiers. But the U.S. continues to insist it was a legitimate military operation against a way station for terrorists crossing the border from Syria, and that American troops came under fire from militants. Major General James Mattis, commander of the 1st Marine Division, said it was naive to believe this was a wedding party. Asked about footage on Arabic television of a child's body being lowered into a grave, he replied, "I have not seen the pictures, but bad things happen in wars. I don't have to apologize for the conduct of my men." That's a quote. More than 100 prisoners in six buses, have already left the infamous Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, and more prisoner releases are expected as the day continues. Military spokesman Brigadier General Mark Kimmett says more than 400 are expected to be free today as part of a plan to reduce the inmate population and ensure that detainees left in custody are only those considered to be a security threat. Scandals surrounding abuse of prisoners at Abu Ghraib shows little sign of abating. Over the past 2 days, the release of pictures showing U.S. soldiers grinning over the body of a dead Iraqi has prompted a new investigation. President Bush yesterday trekked to Capitol Hill for a pep rally of sorts for Republican lawmakers while warning of more difficult days ahead in Iraq. Bush told his supporters that Iraq is ready to fly on its own despite the recent turbulence. The president rolled out a rough plan for the June 30th transfer of power. He told Republican lawmakers that despite the polls, he is eager for his reelection fight. One Republican senator, Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania, quoted Bush as saying, "Things will get worse in Iraq before they get better." With the election 5.5 months away, Republican elected officials on Capitol Hill are expressing concern about Bush's administration's ability to recover from poor poll numbers and extremely negative news on the U.S. occupation of Iraq. Utah Republican Orrin Hatch echoed the sentiments of many other Republicans attending yesterday's closed-door meeting with President Bush that they believe he will win re-election. Bush at the meeting vowed to stay the course and do what he calls is right for America. While Republicans showered him with praise after the meeting, a top Democrat fired back, calling the president incompetent. And Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry took his campaign to the Garden State of New Jersey, where a recent poll of registered voters shows him pegged ahead of President Bush. Jersey is a state that former Vice President Al Gore easily won in 2000 over Bush. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Attention, students, graduates, and parents. You could cut your student loan payments in half with the federal low interest rate programs available from College Loan Corporation. Thousands have already done it, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments up to 50% or more. Call 1-800-CLC-1979 anytime, 24/7. College Loan Corporation will help you refinance your college loans and lock in federal interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rate in nearly 40 years. If you are not taking advantage of this program, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. It's easy to apply. There is no credit check, no hoops to jump through, and in just minutes, you'll be on your way to locking in the lowest rates in decades. Let us make this a reality for you today. Call 1-800-CLC-1979. It's the smartest call you can make. Call College Loan Corporation today at 1-800-CLC-1979. That's 1-800-CLC-1979.
You're driving home. Which route should you take? You're coming up to the exit. You have 10 seconds to decide. 9, 8, 7. Better tune into XM Satellite Radio with an entire channel devoted to 24-hour instant traffic and weather for your area so you can always get non-stop, in-depth traffic and weather. This year, you'll get over 120 digital channels of music, news, sports, and talk. Check out XM Satellite Radio at stores like Best Buy and Circuit City. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. in business and socially. Your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Laura Flanders.
I mean, often this doesn't involve machines. I mean, Baltimore in 2002, you had people handing out flyers threatening voters that if they didn't pay their parking fines and back rent and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but see, but now that's what the white citizens' councils and the Ku Klux Klan did. That job will now be taken over directly by Mr. Ashcroft.
Laura Flanders, Saturday night from 7 to 10 on Air America Radio.
I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, thank God, Friday, the liberal agenda will have that. Plus, we'll check the president's schedule by hacking into his Palm Pilot. Right now, it's morning, clearly. I'm with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hello.
How you doing? More pictures from Abu Ghraib. Is that where those pictures are from? How many women have to pose with Iraqi detainees? Now, they got a woman, you know, sitting there smiling with the thumbs up with a dead guy. I mean, what kind of person, go over there with the dead guy and put the thumbs up and smile. What kind of woman would do that?
Twisted.
I just can't even believe it. How far are we from the Girls of Abu Ghraib edition of Playboy? How far are we from that?
Not far.
Man, I bet you it happens. Though I'm not sure I want to see
Do you subscribe to
Lindy England, you know, with her strange simian features. she looked kind of cute in the original Abu Ghraib pictures, but yeah, when you saw the other pictures, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to judge her on her appearance. I'd rather judge her on her behavior. So, and also I want to reach out to the folks out there who sent, you know, a lot of people emailed Dennis Hastert, the Speaker of the House, and it was a great social momentum that we created to the smug, fat bastard Dennis Hastert, you know, for, like, condescending to John McCain and mocking him in public. Saying he didn't know who he was, you know what I mean? Oh, is he a Republican? Smart ass. You know, Dennis Hastert's one of those dudes that you just look at and hate because he looks like the way he does. You know what I mean? He's just fat and smug. You know, he can't have nothing to say about nothing that's any good for anything. But I got some of the emails. I guess I could refresh you on what happened if you weren't hip to it yesterday. Hastert said that he didn't know who a reporter asked him about John McCain's statement to the senators about the war, saying, you know, why are you saying you're going to cut taxes when, you know, during a wartime, people, Americans should be willing to make a sacrifice. They should be willing to pay taxes in order for the troops to be supported properly financially and equipment-wise and every other way. This country is willing to do that, you know, for their troops. And he was claiming that Hastert was just playing politics and that didn't really care about the people, about the troops in general. And Hastert said, John who? McCain who? You know, basically he said, Senator who? From where? A Republican? And, you know, who is he to judge? You know, McCain, you know, and here's like some, you know, just some points about John McCain and Dennis Hastert. I guess we don't need to cover all those again, do we? Maybe we should just do the emails. We had people reach out to Dennis Hastert, and here's some of the emails that were sent and forwarded to us. Representative Hastert, I heard a discussion of your interaction with a reporter in which you feigned ignorance as to who is John McCain. John McCain is a Republican, like yourself. Unlike yourself, however, John McCain actually has the credibility to speak out and to lead in this time of crisis. Representative Hastert, you do not appear to be leading anything. Please step aside. Step aside, fat smug man. Dear Mr. Hastert, I am deeply offended by your flippant and caustic remarks about war veteran John McCain. Senator John McCain put his life on the line for our country while a bum knee got you a deferment. Whatever your political differences, McCain deserves your respect on war issues. Your remarks are repugnant, and you owe Senator McCain an apology. Apologize, you fat bastard. Hey, Coach. This was the best one. Hey, Coach. I read what you said about Senator John McCain. Where do you get off criticizing a real man? You should be ashamed of yourself, respectfully, which is more than you can apparently muster. Bill in Hackensack. And the coach reference was, of course, to one of the points we were talking about. Let me give some of those informational points. McCain and Hastert, the differences. Or maybe they're not that different. John McCain suffered numerous war injuries and is a virtual encyclopedia of broken bones. Of note, his right knee was broken when he ejected from a bomber over North Vietnam. Dennis Hastert also has a bum knee, thanks to his wrestling days in college. That was good enough to get a medical deferment from the military. He was also a wrestling coach while McCain was in Vietnam. The girls of Abu Ghraib, next month in Playboy. What do you got, Riley?
Well, first of all, I think that bum knee deferments are highly underrated since I got one, yeah, along with Dennis Hastert.
Uh-huh.
I had a bum knee.
Right.
I didn't go into service.
Right.
Even if my knee was good, I wouldn't have gone into service.
I didn't go because I was seven. Well, I offered to go. I was like, Mom, I want to go to Vietnam.
Your mom said, I'd really like you to go.
Yeah. So I said, Mom, I want to go. She said, Mark, you're too young. I said, I don't care. I'm going to walk down to the draft place, or to the enlistment place.
Well, they took me on a bus, and we went. And it was weird because the doctor said, and there were two doctors, said, look, we don't want to take anybody that doesn't want to go. So I said, oh, my knee! And that was the end of it.
I'll be honest with you. I did, when Reagan was in office, and, we all got scared again that he might reinstate the draft. I did go, register for the draft because we had to. And all over my draft registration, I put conscientious objector.
Very good.
Yeah. And then I joined the conscientious objector society. Whatever that is. Well, the society they just set up, and you get a little packet of stuff and a card that is relatively meaningless.
Yeah. And then he went home and clubbed his knee.
There you go. Let's talk a little John Kerry.
Let's do it.
Sounds like he's getting his message together.
Inching ahead.
Sounds like he's, he's putting things together and taking it on the road. You know, some of his fellow Democrats say he hasn't really benefited from recent problems that plagued President Bush because his vision wasn't fine-tuned enough. Well, he's got a campaign rallying cry.
Yes.
Hope it sticks this time.
The slogan,
let America be America again. It is derived from a Depression-era poem by Langston Hughes, one of Black America's icons. And an incredible person. I mean, I have always been, since the time I was a teenager, a big Langston Hughes fan. And
beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful
poem.
Beautiful poem. An absolutely beautiful poem. And if Kerry can stick to this one, I think it'll stick. There's good news and there's bad news for him on the campaign trail. New poll of registered voters in the Garden State of New Jersey, where Bill from Hackensack is from, by the way, gives Kerry a slight edge, 46 to 43% over President Bush, with 5% backing Ralph Nader. Among independent voters, which are a crucial voting bloc in the state of New Jersey, Kerry and Bush are dead even. 4 years ago, Al Gore took the Garden State by 16%, so he's still got a little bit of work to do. Jersey may be a horse race for John Kerry, but he's raising more and more cash to fight the incumbent. His campaign will report today having collected $54.8 million in the first quarter of this year. That beats Bush during the first quarter, but the president still pushed his bucks over $200 million to Kerry's $117.
And he spent, how much has he spent?
$125, $126.
George Bush has spent $126 million, yet it is certainly not enough to erase the reality of his administration coming unraveled and his plans being screwed up.
OxyClean couldn't do that stain.
Not happening.
I'll tell you that right now. At the same time, John Kerry has some surrogates nipping at President Bush's heels. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says the president's Iraq policies show little more than incompetence.
The situation in the prisons was known before these photos were released. In fact, I think the investigation in the situation in the prisons will reveal that the situation in the prisons was known at the highest level.
Hmm.
And Dennis Hastert had something to say about Pelosi,
yes,
that smug bastard. Her comments were meant to inspire her political base, but who else do they inspire? If we followed Mr. Pelosi's advice, Saddam Hussein would still terrorize the citizens of Iraq. Yeah, that's why we got Hussein out, because we were so concerned about the Iraqi citizens that we, you know, we would still be waiting for the UN to make any decision regarding our national security. Oh, yeah, Hussein was a threat to our national security because of those connections he had with who? No evidence.
I don't know.
No evidence.
But, you know, see, is he talking about the Iraqi citizens that we allegedly gunned down at a wedding?
Yeah, yeah.
Are those the ones that we have concern for?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, the wedding party. You know, as a word of advice, and I don't want to be condescending, you know, to Iraqis in any way, is that, like, you know, during this time, if it's part of the celebration to shoot off guns at the end, if there are choppers and stuff in the air, maybe you might want to, you know, alter that particular ritual. You know, save it for later. You know, change it a little bit. Firecrackers maybe, a little, you know, clapping, something.
Something.
Not guns.
Absolutely. So Bush, while all this is going on, is on Capitol Hill. He's trying to rally Republican lawmakers around this plan for Iraq. He is saying that he's sticking to his guns on the June 30th handover of power, despite the obvious and apparent and public meltdown of his boy, Ahmad Shalabi.
Right. What does that mean, though, Riley? Can you answer that? It's like, so he's going to what? It's going to be a symbolic gesture. He's going to pull, what's he going to pull out of there? How is he going to leave? There's still going to be like somewhat like 150,000 troops. So Negroponte's going to be in the embassy. Mm-hmm. So it's just a complete symbolic gesture that means nothing, right?
Well, it means that some of the targets will be on different backs than they are now. That's what it's going to, and when I say targets, I'm talking about targets for the Iraqi insurgents, because those are the folks that you really got to worry about here. They want nothing to do with this handover. They want nothing to do with the transitional government. And my guess is, and we can get into this a little bit later, that all of this Shalabi stuff is a net plus for, what is the leading Shiite cleric's name? Ali al-Sistani.
Yeah, Shalabi's apparently playing both sides of the thing here. Like he's like a devious guy to begin with, but he apparently was setting up a coup, you know, by, you know, pandering to the Iranians, and then, you know, pandering, trying to create a separate Shiite government. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he was a real trustworthy fella.
I'm wondering, with that attack on the wedding party that the United States is saying wasn't a wedding party, was some kind of intelligence screw up, that whether someone gave them intentionally kind of faulty or misleading intelligence so that they would go in and bomb the gathering and then kind of look really bad.
Whether
it was a kind of a setup as a public relations disaster for the U.S. But what I do feel alarmed about, reading the Guardian and the British Guardian on their website has a quite comprehensive description this morning of a woman who was bombed and whose two children were killed and whose husband was killed. And the comments from one Marine commander are so scathing. You know, how many people go to the middle of the desert to be married, he said. You know, there were more than 24 military age males. Let's not be naive. Well, I mean, come on, Major General James Mattis. This is Iraq. People gather in villages. This was apparently a gathering, a small village of 25 houses and two families, someone marrying his or her cousin. You know, we're not talking about Atlanta here. People go into the desert and have weddings.
They live there. Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot plus a liberal agenda right here on Air America Radio.
There was water in the air, and it was good. Once, planet check.
Bush gives polluters a free ride.
The Bush administration is really letting polluters off the hook on a lot of regulations that have been protecting America's environment for the last 30 years.
From Washington, D.C., that's Sierra Club's David Willett.
A lot of these polluters have been major contributors to Bush's re-election campaign.
The Bush administration is making an effort to ignore the public comment process, which is a long-standing American tradition. So wake up and make some noise.
They will back down if there's overwhelming public opposition. So if the public really gets educated about the environmental issues and speaks loudly about these issues, we can see some progress on it.
For all the 411 on Bush's environmental track record, visit SierraClub.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
A lot of birds winter here. To go out to the wetlands, you have a pretty strong likelihood of seeing bald eagle.
It's also an important nursery ground for fish. Crystal Kane and Dr. Michael McCrander are environmentalists. They're helping restore Louisiana's sensitive coastal wetland.
Louisiana has about 40% of the nation's wetlands.
But 80% of the wetland losses have occurred in Louisiana.
Their help is vital to the wetland, to our energy needs, and to the companies they work for, Shell and its affiliates.
As you lose the wetland buffer, you lose your protection. And when you lose your protection, it impacts our country's energy.
If the system goes away, all of our options are gone. Shell understands that.
While the wetland also protects a quarter of the country's energy supply, that's not the only reason these two are here.
It's our backyard.
To find out more, visit Shell.com.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Oh, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Good morning, 21 past the hour, morning sedition, Friday morning. I'm Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. The last bastion of privacy is going to be taken away from us. You know, the one place that we can actually, you know, call our own. The one small amount of territory we can have is our cell phone in our pocket. Only we can give out that number. Only we decide who has it. And now, yeah, you've got yours.
Yep.
You know,
it's
now apparently they're making, after years of anonymity, the numbers of most of the nation's mobile phones will be compiled later this year in the first wireless directory. Now, I don't know if that's voluntary or they're just going to take the numbers or what that's going to be like, but apparently they're going to be listing cell phone numbers. Which is sad, because it was our only real secret place.
Well,
you know?
If you have to pay to be unlisted, then I'll fork it over. I don't want to get cold calls or spam text or kind of rubbish sent to my cell phone.
Yeah, especially because you got to pay for the incoming minutes, and now anybody can call you. And that my cell phone was only for secret friends, for the private, the important people to me. Do you know what's weird about cell phones? It's like, I don't have a memory anymore. Do you remember there was a time in our lives where you'd have at least 10 phone numbers in your head? If someone goes, "What's your number?" I'd be like, "Oh man, hold on, let me check myself." Like, I literally don't know my own home number. I don't know my wife's number offhand. I barely know the number to give out here in the studio, and I say it like 4 or 5 times a day unless I check my cell phone. I mean, between the cell phone and the computers, we've surrendered our human memories. Like, where were you born? Oh, man, it's on my computer at home. Let me call you back on, what's your cell phone number? And I'll tell you.
Don't you think this is just probably, kind of pressure from companies and especially kind of real estate agents who there's a reason that they want people to be contacted. It's because people have stopped picking up all those really annoying cold calls around dinner time on their landlines. So if they do go ahead and do this, there'll just be a backlash in the same way that there was, and that people will find a way of blocking these calls. Or, don't you have caller ID on yours that when someone rings you, the number flashes on the screen? If I don't recognize the number, I don't answer it. I don't
sometimes
go to the machine.
Don't. Other times I'm like, hey, surprise caller. I wonder who that could be.
Oh, I had one of those at midnight the other night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, which is not good when you go to bed at 7:30.
Oh, by the way, Maren, the whole thing about memory,
yeah,
that's age.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want to
your
say that.
Again?
But I'm telling you, man, because I'm a little older than the two of you.
But I don't even put it in my memory. I mean, it used to be like, I don't know my mother's number.
You're right.
Because I've never dialed it, You know, maybe the first time I dialed my mother's number, because I only use my cell phone because I travel a lot, and, like, the home line I rarely use. My home number, this is a whole other thing, man. I got a home number that someone else used to have, and he was clearly, but he was clearly a Muslim dude. I constantly get in these calls like, hello, Azir? And I'm like, no, he doesn't live here, you know. And I look at the caller ID, and it was Muhammad Islam. And, like, here's how paranoid I am about the Patriot Act. It's like, great, Muhammad Islam's calling me looking for his buddy. I don't know who this guy is. It's someone in a like a little computer cubicle in Washington is going, I think we got something here. The Marin kid's taking calls. You know, the kid from Air America? Muhammad Islam is calling him at home. Hey, I didn't know that guy. Wait a minute. I don't want to go to where? Why handcuffs? But anyways, we're paranoid.
You're right about memory, though. It's the same thing with handwriting.
Your name again?
That no one...
Go ahead.
This is Monday.
Okay.
You've got 4 more days of shows ahead of you, Mark.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, sorry. Sit down. Need a rest. But it's the same thing with handwriting. No one can write anymore. No one can remember numbers. And you know when you finally get around to writing someone's birthday card, you can barely get your signature out.
That's true, because
everybody's on the computer. Yeah, no one writes.
It's the Matrix, man. The machines are stealing our skills. They're making us stupid. We're going to be working for them. We're going to be slaves. Pretty soon, we're not even going to be individuals anymore, man. The computer's going to be hooked up to the TV. It's going to be hooked up to the stereo. We're just going to be the part of the home entertainment system that eats and goes to the bathroom. We're in trouble, man.
Hey, do we have any of our crack researchers available? Because there's something in this story I have to find out.
What?
The Cellular Telecommunications and Internet Association.
Mm-hmm.
Its president's name is Steve Largent. Now, Steve Largent, if it's the same Steve Largent, was a former football player, wide receiver, I believe, for the Seattle Seahawks, and a former congressman.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with your memory.
Lobbying. So you're suggesting lobbying.
This is all about lobbying. Steve Largent, he has moved from the halls of Congress to the halls of the lobby. He's probably making about 5 times as much money as he was when he was a lawman.
Man, if I had the memory you have, Riley, when I was young, I'd be way farther ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what. I lost a lot of memory for reasons I can't disclose.
But, man, you're amazing. You can hear, like, 2 notes from a song in the elevator. You're like, well, that's an R&B tune from 1907, before R&B was even invented.
And people didn't know Langston Hughes used to go to drag balls.
Yeah, I mean,
that's true,
too. We had this whole conversation about Langston Hughes frequenting Harlem drag clubs. Before there were drag clubs, you know,
I was born, you know,
right.
Yeah, back when they were really clandestine operations where, you know, people paid off the police and you know, all of that sort of
thing. Before you could be publicly gay, let alone publicly gay and black, you mean?
That's right. Publicly gay and black was killer.
Oh, you know, later, you know, you're planning on listening to our show for 3 hours this morning, which I hope you are. Jim David, who is a comic from the South and a gay man who is very funny, we'll talk a little bit about being out in the South. So that's something to look forward to. If you're sitting at home and you're like wondering, what am I going to do with the next 3 hours? There's a gay Southern comic that's going to be on Morning Sedition in the 8 o'clock hour. So if you really got nothing to do, you know, hang out, you know?
Call your friends that also don't have much to do. Let them know.
Buy a pack of cigarettes, have a pot of coffee, and enjoy.
Now, all of us in this room have cell phones, right?
Yeah,
real quick.
I don't have mine.
Listed or unlisted?
On my cell phone?
Yeah. If they decide to list them, are you going to take your name off?
No, I wouldn't have it listed.
You wouldn't have it listed.
I would have definitely unlisted, but what I might do is get a second one and have it listed. If I didn't have a landline, I was moving around a lot and wanted people to reach me for work. And I know friends who do that. I have friends who have 2 and 3 cell phones. They have the personal cell phone, the work cell phone, and then some other kind of third kind of spooky, God knows what they're up to kind of cell phone.
Yeah.
There'll be multiple cell phone packages, and companies will realize, huh, smart, you know, buy one, get one for half price. And there'll be all these deals to allow people to sort of split their professional and personal lives.
But you know what?
And then the extramarital one will be like, you know, third off.
The extramarital. But you know what? You know how clandestine people are with. Have you ever noticed how people, if they're standing in a group and somebody takes a cell phone call, they automatically move away from the group?
Yeah.
They just, like, walk away.
Sometimes, unless they're rude.
And then they hold their head, you know, they do like this. And you think it's because they, you know, don't want to interrupt the conversation.
I love hearing people.
But why is it?
It's because they want to play Secret Squirrel. It's because they really... Oh, I'm sorry. That's an old reference.
We're going to have to go into that. Oh, Secret Squirrel?
Yeah.
I notice when I'm on the train and you get the cell phone call and you start talking in phone voice.
Hello? What?
Everyone looks at you?
Yeah. There's more to come. We've got the presidential Palm Pilot, Salon.com's Andrew Coburn on the Chalabi mess, and the liberal agenda when Air America Radio continues.
Remember the last time you've been into a sweet, crunchy apple? Grilled onions and peppers, or make a fresh salad. The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you, that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. I don't have to apologize for the conduct of my men. That's the word this morning from U.S. Major General James Mattis, the commander of the 1st Marine Division, in response to charges that American soldiers staged a raid on a wedding party earlier this week in western Iraq near the Syrian border. U.S. continues to insist it was a safe house for insurgents. Back in Washington, D.C., lawmakers are writing legislation aimed at dismantling the infamous Abu Ghraib prison. It will be part of a multi-billion-dollar defense bill. Abu Ghraib is the epicenter of the Iraqi prisoner abuse scandal and Saddam Hussein's former torture chamber. Government officials yesterday admitted that American interrogators of suspected terrorists at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, sought approval to use harsher methods than was called for in the state of the military doctrine. They say some of them were used until military lawyers objected. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it will probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
The Majority Report.
Danny, you're quickly realize that you're going to have to come around to our way of thinking. You're not allowed to leave the studio.
Exactly.
All right.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Admit it. You love Johnny. I don't know why.
He indeed does have the capacity to shoot straight.
He also has a last name, which is the same as the first name. You know, Edward John, I like last names to be last names. Garofalo, that's a last name.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. It's Friday morning. I'm with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's now time for a little something we call the Presidential Palm Pilot. I got a guy in the Oval Office that does some errands around there. He's sort of an undercover guy. Downloads this from the President's little Palm Pilot. This is the President's schedule for today, 8 a.m. Wake up. Prepare for trip to Louisiana by polishing stories about the good old drinking days. Also, just for last, pack 35-year-old vomit-stained sweatshirt. Oh, he kept it. He didn't clean it. He kept it. And it says Yale on it. 10 a.m., speak at Louisiana State University commencement, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Receive honorary doctorate of mixology. There you go. Noon, lunch at Emeralds. Bam! Ask if he has anything low-carb. 1:15 p.m., attend Victory 2004 reception in Metairie, Louisiana.
use funny Cajun accent to make joke about Louisiana's low reading scores. Bam! 3 p.m. Go to Bourbon Street. Do something charmingly stupid so Laura can talk about it on her next sit-down with Leno. 5 p.m., return to Washington. When people ask, how is Louisiana, say, bam! Too French. Take it up a notch. 7 p.m., skip dinner. Still gassy from Emerald. Bam. 8:15 p.m., order terrorist prisoners move from Abu Ghraib to Louisiana, then sick gators on them. There you go. 9:30 p.m., lights out, lay awake thinking, on Bourbon Street, they're still drinking and puking. Damn. Aw. Damn! Oh, my God, that guy and wherever he's from, like, tell the child to leave the room. The adults want to talk about politics. Got this email. This guy's like, Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott are talking about politics, and they're talking about, they're being grown up. So you tell that Mark Maron that he should run an errand or something. Tell him to sit at the kiddie table. Let the child leave the room.
He did?
Kind of.
Kind of.
By the way, that's not adult. It's just I'm old.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I'm 46. Riley's 51. Tell the child to sit down at the child's table. And not talk when the grown-ups are talking about politics.
We'll send you over the chicken McNuggets.
There you go.
Because that's all I'll eat, Mommy.
And some ketchup.
What do we got about Shalabi, man? This guy's he's a rat, man. He's a weaselly, gambling, two-faced bastard.
I was going to call him McNugget Head as a way of transition.
Speaking of McNugget, this guy Shalabi's a Nugget Head.
I mean, what is he? Is he a spy for the Iranians, which he's been accused of being? We know he's a sop for U.S. money. He's been getting, what, $335,000 a month for the last I don't know how many months. And was he planning a coup because the Americans were planning of planning on shutting him out of the post-June 30th Iraqi government, whatever that is?
Well, who do you believe at this side at this point? I mean, that, you know, each side, Shalabi and the Americans, are sort of set on discrediting one another. I mean, it'll be some time before we kind of unravel all of this. I mean, and, you know, clearly the U.S. has a vested interest in denigrating Shalabi because they're angry with him for having kind of misled them over the intelligence on the weapons of mass destruction, on the need to get rid of Saddam Hussein, on how the liberators into Iraq will be greeted with flowers. I mean, this is all the stuff that the administration is getting nailed on back at home right now.
But did they have to trash his house? They have to make it look like the WHO in a hotel room.
But how trashed was it?
Did you see that footage of him walking around his house? He's like, look, they've messed up my desk. Look at my pillows all on the floor. These are bastards.
His nephew did tell the Associated Press that they'd put a gun to his head.
They said there's a bullet hole in the picture of him.
Really?
Yeah, but it could have been a pinhole.
They hadn't shot at him, surely?
He's a real operator. I think the main problem is that he was trying to set up some sort of shadow government that he could take over and undermine the governing council. You know, and now we are going to talk to somebody. I mean, U.S. soldiers and Iraqi police raided his house the other day. The one-time American ally, Shalabi, is apparently no longer a friend. He was also cut off from the $340,000 a month allowance he was being paid by the Pentagon for movies and stuff. What will Shalabi do now? Will he fuel tensions inside Iraq to get power for himself? Joining us now for our Salon.com story of the day is Andrew Coburn. He is co-author of Out of the Ashes, The Resurrection of Saddam Hussein. Hello, Andrew.
Morning, Chair.
What has Shalabi been doing? What is the Shiite faction that he's trying to create, this second government?
Well, he's been trying to set himself up as, you know, Mr. Extreme Shia.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, you know, he wasn't such friends with the Americans anymore. They weren't going to put him in power, as some of his friends in the Pentagon wanted to do. The Brahimi, the UN guy, who does what the Americans tell him, had made it clear Shalabi wasn't even going to be in the government that Brahimi's going to announce for
office. He's playing the victim, too, which is really, really repugnant.
Oh, yeah, well, he always does that, yeah. So Shalabi's response was to say, if we gather around a lot of sort of, you know, hardline Shia types and try and set up a group that would destabilize, you know, whatever we put in power.
But how
so
can he,
high stakes here.
But how can he replace a cleric like al-Sadr? I mean, don't Iraqis, you know, hate this guy?
Shalabi?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe to go up in the polls. I mean, al-Sadr is now the second most popular man in Iraq. So maybe Shalabi thought if he did the same thing, he'd get that slot, too.
But he's not, isn't he a secular dude?
Well, he is, yeah. I mean, if you remember when he used to come here, he was all, you know, wears, you know, Savile Row suits and, you know, Mr. Nice Guy. But Chalabi, you know, he's incredibly ambitious, so he'll do what it takes.
You think can he pull it off?
Who knows in Iraq? I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen? He's a gambler, you know. He's lost out on the American card, so he dropped that and he's gone the other way. You know, now he's being accused of having been an agent for the Iranians. He was an agent for everyone. He was an agent for the Israelis. He told the Israelis, help me get in power and I'll, I'll recognize Israel. He told the oil companies, help me get in power and I'll give you lots of great concessions. I mean, he would be an agent for anyone he thought would help him.
Yeah, exactly. Will the real Chalabi please stand up?
Exactly, exactly.
Andrew Coburn, you're the co-author of Out of the Ashes, The Resurrection of Saddam Hussein. In your reporting experience on Iraq, you know, clearly you see that Chalabi is an opportunist, but is there anything good that can come out of this in any way at all?
Well, I mean...
That sounds like a no.
Got to act like I know. Anything good that can come out of this? I mean, Iraq, out of the whole occupation?
No, out of what's happened with Chalabi this week.
Well,
this kind of point to Iraqis or Americans about, you know, some sort of power play and what needs to happen here on out.
If Chalabi is, you know, if they remove him as a factor from the political scene, I guess it would be good, because he has been a disruptive influence over the years. And if you may argue that helping America go to the war, he greased the skids for war by supplying all this fake intelligence. So that would be, you know, if you consider the Iraq invasion a good thing, then, you know, getting rid of him is obviously not so good, because we owe him a big debt of gratitude for getting us embroiled in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I think getting him off the scene would probably be a good thing, but we're not going to do that, because Ahmed's going to be around for a very long time to come, I think.
You said that Muqtada al-Sadr was the second most popular man in Iraq. Is it al-Sistani who's number one?
That's right. They did a recent poll that was revealed yesterday, so that Sistani is number one, is top of the polls, and number two is the grubby cleric Muqtada al-Sadr.
The breakout new the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, you know, look, the way to get popular in Iraq is to be persecuted by the Americans. So I guess Chalabi's doing the right, you know, is in the right slot.
Yeah, right. He's playing it right.
Good. Andrew Coburn, what is going to happen, do you think, here in the States? There was a whole wing of the Bush administration that backed Chalabi. He didn't get there by accident. He didn't get that $340,000 a month because he was a nice guy. He had serious backing. Is there going to be any backwash on the Wolfowitzes and the Pearls and the people that propped up Chalabi in the first place?
I'd love to think so. And actually, it's interesting, you know, that he's being accused of giving classified information, secret information to the Iranians. And reportedly, there are reports that they are looking for who in the administration or the U.S. government gave him that information. So it'd be nice to see some neocons hauled off in chains for giving classified information to an Iranian agent.
For something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, anything.
Thanks.
I mean, that'd be good. That'd be a good one.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Andrew. It's great to talk to you. Andrew Coburn, co-author of Out of the Ashes, The Resurrection of Saddam Hussein. We've got the liberal agenda coming up. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. We're going to take your calls at 866-303-AARZERO. That's 866-303-2270. Do you think we should pull out of Iraq or not? Call us up here on Air America Radio.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Forty-five past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. We're taking your calls. We want to know, do you think we should pull out of Iraq or continue to try to fertilize it with democracy?
You know, it's a sexual thing.
All right, 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. We're going to Omar in Westchester. Omar?
Yes, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I heard the best show good morning at 6:47, and that's called Democracy in Iraq.
That's the best one. Yeah.
As much as I would love to pull out because the people don't need to be there, and I think it's a growing concern, everybody's realizing that, hey, we don't belong there, we're going to have to stay there. And I'm going to tell you why, because if we leave, there are three factions, of course, the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Shiites.
Yeah.
They're going to fight to the death until there's nobody left standing.
Right.
After what Saddam has done for all those years, everybody's going to get retribution, everybody want to fight for peace of the pie, and there's a beautiful pie out there, and that's called oil.
Right.
But now, if we leave, then they're going to go into chaos, and then the U.S. is going to have to come in because it's going to be a world order, and then they're going to beg for the U.S. to come back in, and they wanted that all along. You see, if we didn't, if they would have just listened to us and become a democracy, then this wouldn't have happened.
Right,
but
right.
But you got to realize something. They tried to sell this nonsense about they want a democracy. Even if, let's just say, 400,000 people didn't want democracy.
Yeah.
You can't go in there just saying we're going to have a democracy.
You can't force it.
Therefore, we can't pull out because it's going to be even worse. I think if we let our troops just say, hey, look, we're just going to build your country. We're going to build up the houses that we knocked down.
Yeah.
I think then we'll be okay as long as they see us as being the builders of what we destroyed, opposed to telling them who is going to be the next president and who's not going to be the next president. Democracy? Yeah, not in this world.
Thanks a lot, Omar. Thanks.
You know what? I think I'm going to give him my spot. I'm going to go home and take a nap, and he can come in and replace me.
That was great. He said it all in one breath.
He's very, very energetic.
866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. Harold at Evelyn Air Force Base. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm
I love
okay.
your show.
Thanks, Harold.
Hey, I think, you know, to be honest with you, I think we should follow the Colin Powell, you know, doctrine. If we break it, we fix it.
Yeah.
Before we have any hint of pulling out. I disagree with the whole war issue.
Right.
But we did go in and break stuff. You can't just go in somebody's house, break anything, and don't expect to, you know, pay for it or have any repercussions from it.
Now, we can still fix it without Bush, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Most definitely.
Good.
You know, I told you guys about a month ago how most of the enlisted people feel.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We can't, Yeah, we can't, you know, we can't really say nothing. When you, when we report anything, you know, we get in a heap of trouble, and that's why you see all the officers or whatever, you know, spit out the Republican talking points.
Right. Well, thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it. Mm. That's right. It's always interesting to hear from the military guys. He's like, you know, probably it's under an assumed name. Lauren, how are you, man? Woman, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, the guy that called a little bit ago, or a couple callers before, he was saying we need to stay.
Yeah.
And actually, we need to go. Because as long as we're seen in a leadership role in Iraq, there's going to be continued violence. We're looked at as occupiers.
Well, I think his point was that there's going to be violence no matter what, at least for some time, you know, even without the occupation. But thanks for your call. I mean, it's sort of I don't know what would happen if we pulled out altogether. I imagine it would be chaos for a good long time.
Well, see, over and above what happens in Iraq, we would be even bigger pariahs than we are now because we started this, you know.
I think the coalition can't leave. It just can't. I mean, you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, but I just think you can't pull out.
Right.
You can change the leadership. I think, you know, it's a commitment to the well-being and safety of Iraqi people, and that it's the leadership of the coalition that has to change. I mean, you can't give up on Iraq.
Right. Tom in Alabama. Tom.
Yeah, what I was talking about was the, I don't think we need to pull out.
Right.
The reason for that is that we have an obligation at this point.
Right.
To go ahead and fix what we've destroyed over there. I don't know of any school we've built. I don't know of any hospital that we've built. And that's what we promised we were going to do.
Yeah, I hope they start doing that. Thanks for calling, Tom. I hope that something positive starts to happen.
You know, I don't know how it's going to.
I hope it'll happen when Kerry's president.
That's the only hope we
have. Well, that's, you know, we can't really wait until November for good stuff to happen, or January when a new president actually takes up office. It has to happen now. It has to be ongoing for months.
Yeah, good luck with that. We'll be back with the liberal agenda after this on Air America Radio.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Good morning. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. So you were right, huh, Riley? It was that congressman?
Yeah. It was former Congressman Steve Largent. NFL receiver.
Who's now doing the big wireless directory thing.
That's right.
It's got to be a racket. This is a beautiful political move by John Kerry, who today or yesterday called on the Bush administration to urge leaders of the Timken Company and the United Steelworkers of America to accept a federal mediator to help bring about a contract settlement and prevent 1,300 jobs from being lost if the country follows through on its plan to shut down its Canton, Ohio plant. Now, this is where Bush spoke and gave the big jobs and growth banner speech about jobs in Ohio. And we had Bruce Andrews, who was a very pissed off employee who feels he's about to lose his job, talk about...
After 31 years on the job.
Yeah, yeah. And this plant is going down. This is a big Bush contributor, and Bush used it as a place to really sort of set his optimistic economic agenda. And apparently it's sort of you don't want Bush to come to your factory because he's sort of a typhoid Bush, because he goes places and they tend to close, or whenever he says he's going to do something and really commits to it, it tends to sort of fade away. Or just, like, here's a few examples. In January 2002, Bush visited a youth opportunity job training center in Portland, Oregon, and praised the program that funded it. A month later, funding was cut by 80% in his 2003 budget proposal. In June 2002, Bush praised the Department of Housing and Urban Development's HOPES 6 program during a photo op at an Atlanta housing project. The funding was completely eliminated in his next budget proposal. During the 2001 visit to Eagleson Hospital in Atlanta, Bush was moved to tears by a pediatric training program to help children with cancer. Funding for that program was promptly cut by $35 million. Children with cancer. Hey, you know what? What odds do they really have, right? Is that what he's thinking? And he's crying. Oh, my God. February 2003, visits a branch of the Boys and Girls Clubs of America and praises the organization. His new budget proposal slashes its funding by $10 million.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
I worked at a boys club up in the Bronx, did some volunteer work for a while. They do a great job. I mean, they have 5,000 kids in that program.
They really do a good job. My wife and her sister, you know, used to, when they were kids, they were brought to the sort of the Boys and Girls Club in Seattle. And she has a lot of great stories and a lot of good feelings about that program.
They do great programs. In L.A., I used to go to the one that's over in Santa Monica, and they did a fantastic program where they sent a group of children over from inner city Los Angeles over to Northern Ireland, to the town in Armagh, where there had been a terrible bombing, and about 200 people were killed, and they went to spend a couple of weeks in the homes of, you know, children in Northern Ireland, and then the children came back to Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
And it was an incredible sort of cultural exchange that they got to kind of understand, like, you know, small town kind of village life and politics and a whole culture. It's something they could never possibly have imagined. It was really amazing hearing those kids talk and understand, you know, just really to get outside of themselves and to, you know, appreciate different ways of thinking about things. Really good.
Wow, that is good. Hey, there's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here's your marching orders for today. Get your notebooks and your pens, liberals. Here we go. One, when kids are playing house, remind them that most couples have extramarital affairs, so urge them to start swapping. Two, at the supermarket, when asked paper or plastic, answer, what's the difference? Bush is going to kill us all anyway. Three, make joblessness and prison torture sound like issues we should get all worked up over. Four, to even the playing field, distribute stolen internet term papers to inner city schools. Five, protest the draft, the NFL draft. Do what you will, liberal soldiers. Them's your marching orders.
Mm.
We got a lot of stuff coming up, man. We got some good guests. We're going to be talking about religion, which always makes people excited. Right, Riley?
Especially you.
Yeah, actually, I forgot that program was about sending Catholics and Protestant children so they could understand one another. That was the point of that.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was good.
Up next on Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary takes us inside his head. George W. Bush takes no questions from Republicans, and he answers none from the 9/11 panel. Plus, Recovery Corner and a talk with two guys named Bill. This is Air America Radio.
Your lawn is being taken over by dandelions and crabgrass.
Help!
With Weed Be Gone, one product gets rid of the dandelions,
but not the crabgrass.
The other kills the crabgrass,
but not the lawn weeds. There's gotta be a better way.
There is. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. It kills lawn weeds plus crabgrass in just one easy step, and it won't harm your lawn.
Two kinds of weeds, one simple solution.
Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. There appears to be no end to the number of instances of prisoner abuse at Abu Ghraib. Washington Post this morning reports that the detainees were ridden like animals, fondled by female soldiers, and forced to retrieve their food from toilets. Post also claims to have obtained hundreds of more pictures and several digital photos. In a related development, the New York Times has confirmed a Newsweek report of a White House double standard on the treatment of prisoners. There is evidence that there was a U.S. government plan constructed over 2 years ago to avoid international laws on the treatment of prisoners. A series of Justice Department memos approved by the White House's top lawyer provided arguments to prevent U.S. officials from being charged with war crimes for the way prisoners were being treated. President Bush yesterday held a pep rally of sorts for Republican lawmakers on Capitol Hill, telling many of them that the worst is yet to come in Iraq. Despite this, Bush said he's confident about Iraq's transition and confident about his reelection prospects in November. Meanwhile, that wishful thinking was immediately shot down by California Democratic Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, who described President Bush as incompetent.
I believe that the president's leadership and the actions taken in Iraq demonstrate an incompetence in terms of knowledge, judgment, and experience in making the decisions that would have been necessary to truly accomplish the mission.
Democrat Nancy Pelosi. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry took his campaign to the Garden State yesterday, where a recent poll of registered voters shows him pegged ahead of President Bush. Jersey is a state that former Vice President Al Gore easily won in 2000 over Bush, but among independent voters, Bush and Kerry are virtually even, according to a Quinnipiac University poll released yesterday. The pollster says Kerry's slight lead can be challenged, as Bush enjoys considerable support despite all the bad news out of Iraq. Pollster Clay Richards of the Quinnipiac University Polling Institute assessed the latest figures.
If it's a close race in New Jersey, where Kerry ought to be ahead easily, it's really bad news for the Kerry camp, because that means they've got to spend more time and more money in a state that should be a safe bet for them, and it means less time and less money spent in the key battleground states where the election is going to be decided.
Pollster Clay Richards. Democratic presidential candidate Kerry yesterday called on President Bush to step into a contract dispute that threatens to close an Ohio bearings plant where Bush promoted his tax cut plan last year. Kerry said Bush had urged the Timken Company and the United Steelworkers of America to accept a federal mediator to help settle their disagreement. Jobs of some 1,300 workers are on the line as management threatens to close the plant. And yet another example of apparent corporate influence within the Bush administration, the Environmental Protection Agency approved an air pollution regulation this year based entirely on recommendations from the chemical and timber industries. This from the L.A. Times this morning. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gelman.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit built up and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd president of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax bush once and for all.
Dear Bill, it's me, your garden gnome. I've been pilfered and taken all over the place. This week I'm at a ski resort. I'm a little ski bum. My room is splendid. I feel like a naughty rock star. Naughty and saucy. Well, ta-ta! The roaming gnome.
Create a Travelocity Total Trip Ski Vacation. Book your flight plus hotel together and save. No surprises.
Book with Travelocity. Don't forget your hat.
Call 1-888-TRAVELOCITY. Visit Travelocity.com or AOL keyword travel. See site for details.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build and keep putting it off, but have you considered the cost of not building? Now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need with the General Steel Corporation. The General will show you how to save time and money with a steel building engineered for your area and to meet your needs. This is no metal box. General Steel will show you how to add the look of stucco, rock or brick to make that building attractive yet low maintenance and energy efficient. Call toll free 1-800-70-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $54,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $108,000, call the General now for free information. Grab a pen and write down this number, 1-800-70-STEEL. That's 1-800-70-STEEL.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
Listen, Bush came down here. We want to send him back.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
I've never heard people really, truly own up to the fact that we do have an electoral college, and that is why George Bush won the election.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
I don't have any problem with him disagreeing with Bush and thinking he's wrong. I think all the Democrats are wrong.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, we've got a newcomer in today's edition of Recovery Corner. Plus, I'll crack open my dream diary and the top secret presidential daily briefing for today. That's all coming up. Did I just go... That's good radio. Yeah, right now I'm...
We'll send over the defibrillator.
Mark Maron and Sue... Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. And Mark Maron's here, too. Oh, my God. We've got a guest coming in later that I think is going to be very interesting. We're going to be talking to Susan Jacoby about the original founding fathers and their religious beliefs and about church and state and whatnot. And see, I for me personally, I find this to be the most frightening element of the current administration. I think there is no greater threat to liberty than the dissolution of the church and state separation. That's it. And I find that, you know, radical evangelical born-again Christians within the administration frightens me. Zionist and evangelical Christians, you know, frighten me. The weird sort of triangulation of neocons, Zionist Christians, and Israel frightens me. You know what I mean? Because, like, and I know why. I know why the Christian right is so pro-Bush. I think I've talked about this before. You know, I believe that, you know, George Bush, on some level, is clearly the right president to end, you know, to oversee the end of the world. And I think he's doing a tremendous job. And I think that on some level, the reason the extreme Christian right is so pro-Bush is that they really believe he could end the world. And you know what? They're ready to go. It's in the book. They're ready to go. And he's really kind of like trying to do this weird balance between this Christian right faction of people who want the world to end and these weird sort of, you know, pillaging, privatizing, deregulating capitalists that, you know, just want to, you know, take whatever they can, you know, while they can. If you ask those guys, hey, what if we wake up, we can't breathe anymore and the air is, you know, and the water's polluted and all they can really say is like, yeah, I know, man. I hope that doesn't happen, dude. You know, we're trying to encourage a free market so technology keeps up with us and magically erases all the damage we're doing. So they're hedging their bets of world wound end. The Christian right, the extreme dudes, the Zionist Christian right, are hedging the bets that the world will end. You know, and Bush a couple months ago gets on TV and says we're putting $1 billion into a moon station. Why don't you just get on, you know, TV and say some of us are getting ready to go? You know what I mean? Come on, the meek are closing in. You know, we can run it from up there. Me and Dick and a little Halliburton space pod by remote control. Have clear channel pipe and Striper music and Toby Keith songs. It'd be great. Bip, bip, boo.
You know,
I just did a Patton Oswalt thing.
No, I share your concerns. I got to be honest with you about the Christian right. I really do. And
scare me.
Understand, I don't mean all Christians. Okay, yeah. I'm not. I don't think you do either.
No, of course not.
But
of course not.
Because you know you will get those emails.
Yeah, I know. But I'm tired of that because like you know I'm entitled to my beliefs, which are limited to you know coffee, you know movies, you know me sometimes, you know some vague deity, perhaps, depending on how I'm feeling. You know, but that's my choice. And, like, religion works for some people, but there is extremism that I find, you know, imposing, you know, and within the context of it, you know, being in government, it's frightening. It's frightening.
Well, in a nation that is supposed to have separation of church and state, encroachment by one on the other should always frighten people. The problem, I think, is that there are so many people that don't see the danger in all. They see the danger in fundamentalism in other religions, in religions that are not their own. But
right.
They don't see the danger of fundamentalism in their own religion. And again, I'm a tolerant guy. You want to speak in tongues? Speak in tongues. Doesn't bother me.
But let me laugh.
Yeah. Exactly. And leave me alone. You
right.
Know?
Yeah. Well, that's the weird rub of belief is that in order to believe fully, you can't ask those kind of questions. You can't say, like, this is just belief. Like, this is just my God. It is the God.
Yeah.
So they're going to judge you in relation to their belief being the belief.
Also, so much kind of religion in its kind of fundamentalist or its kind of most extreme form is about, you know, suspension of reason, suspension of the intellect, suspension of rationality. It's about you know, transporting yourself to something that is beyond comprehension, is beyond explanation.
My dad's like that.
It becomes you know, sort of nonsensical and surreal to those who are kind of not inside it.
My dad's like that with the lottery.
Well, we're tolerant about him, too.
Yeah. He's well, my dad, like, I'll call him sometimes. He'll be like, hello. I'm like, what's the matter? He's like, I can't believe I lost.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't believe?
The odds are one in a zillion.
Like, he had some angle, you know?
I understand. There's more bad news coming out of Iraq this morning.
Iraq? Bad
Iraq.
News? Imagine that.
Bad news. New statements by detainees at the Abu Ghraib prison describe abuse that is way beyond what's been released to the public thus far. Now,
oh my God.
Of course, initially the administration is going to come back with, you can write the script for this. Well, they're detainees. They're lying. They can't have experienced
it. Oh, these are the released detainees? The newly
these
released
These are released detainees, and they're talking about merciless beatings, repeated sexual humiliation by U.S. soldiers. The Pentagon, but now I'll give them this much. They say they're investigating. Mm-hmm. They must have started about 25 investigations since all this started. The problem that they have in trying to get to the denial part too quick is that there are new videos and new pictures.
Presumably all the stuff that Congress looked at last week and that we all thought, didn't we, that would all kind of leak out bit by bit and that the worst was yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they can't really sort of discredit the detainees who've come out and the ones who are speaking because presumably they are part of the, what was it, 350 or the numbers that they were going to release that are the sort of petty criminals, the ones that have nothing to do with terrorism and they had to acknowledge that they were holding really for no legitimate reason.
But they're still criminals.
Yes, but they, you know, they have credibility, sorry.
A part of their plan, I think, was to kind of round up everybody. And by taking these pictures, I think the real devious evil of this plan was whether or not they knew anything.
if they had the evidence of them being sexually humiliated, given the culture they come from, they had that. They were making those guys employees of their cause. Mm-hmm. You know, they said, like, okay, maybe you are clean, but look, we got these pictures, so you go out into the world and you get whatever information you can. I think that that was part of their plan before they got caught. And I think that one thing that isn't talked about is that Abu Ghraib is not – it may be one place, but it was clearly a sort of clearinghouse for this behavior, this interrogation. Because even like Karpinski, who was in charge of the place, said you had these like these military dudes, these military intelligence guys coming in and out to the point where she had no control over them, and they just assumed that they could go in and out. But they were bringing guys in from other places. Like, I think they had detainees in other prisons, and they were sort of like, well, let's go over to Abu Ghraib because we can really lay this down over there. You know what I mean? We can get what we need to get out of them and get pictures.
By the way, I think Karpinski, General Karpinski,
yeah,
she's going down.
Yeah. Janice?
Yeah.
Janice, of course she's going down. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I just hope that they keep falling down upward. Like, you know, that the domino effect happens upward.
Well, then you got to go to Miller.
Yeah.
And then you got to go to Sanchez. And then you got to go to Abizade. All of whom had the deer in the headlights. Look, I was working out the other day and saw Hillary Clinton questioning, I believe it was Abizade. It was when they were, all three of them had been called in from Baghdad to testify in front of one of the Senate committees.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, like, nailed him to the wall with this, well, we have on this date statements from this person, and again, within the chain of command saying this and this and this. And they ended up all saying, well, we never saw the reports. So what, were they gathering dust on your desk? How is it that all of these reports, the Red Cross report, reports from soldiers in the field, all of this stuff,
right?
And it never got to these people who are supposed to be in charge, not just of Abu Ghraib, not just of the prison system, in charge of the American military presence in Iraq, and they didn't know anything about anything.
Well, they should be kicked out for not knowing then. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's not a good enough excuse.
Well,
right?
That's falling up. I mean, if they're going to go after Karpinski, who's next?
But all this stuff makes me kind of especially worried about the reports today about the bombing of the wedding party, which the Americans are saying wasn't a wedding party. It was some kind of way station for, you know, insurgents or, you know, rebels.
It was an insurgent wedding party.
Well, because it's still this kind of cultural insensitivity and this dehumanization persists, and they seem to have kind of learned nothing from the language and the statements that they make. And this is yet another public relations disaster. You know, Mark Kimmett, who's one of the what's his title again? He's one of the
CENTCOM,
one of the commanders, and he says that we operated within our rules of engagement. This is going to get people around the world, the Americans, people everywhere, to question, well, what exactly are the rules of engagement? In the same way that they have been questioning, what exactly are the rules that allow you to extract information and to deal with detainees? Because they bombed a wedding party that left 42 people dead, 27 of whom were from one family, out in the desert. A cluster of, tents and gatherings. And, I mean, the details that you can read today are just appalling.
Mm-hmm.
It's just baffling to me that they could allow this kind of, public relations disaster to come kind of right on the heels of the Abu Ghraib prison stuff and look just as insensitive in how they try to justify their behavior as all, from the bottom all the way to the top, people have looked on the Abu Ghraib stuff.
Well, it's interesting that story is clearing mainly in the foreign press. That was in The Guardian, am I right?
It was. The details were in The Guardian. The woman who tried to escape, they were bombing on the ground. The Americans have said that they came under fire while they were targeting a suspected foreign fighter's safe house. And that the people in the wedding party have said that they were targeted in the middle of the night, kind of 3 a.m. You know, one woman was hit by two rounds of fire. She was escaping with her two sons and one child in her arms. The two boys were killed. A shell exploded. She said that one of her boys was decapitated. I mean, it is in The Guardian. I don't know why it hasn't come out in the American press yet, but the same thing happened with the prison abuse. No, the same thing happened with the prison stories. Those were out in the British media, and the argument and the questioning of the coalition behavior started far hotter, faster, and then came here first. I think we'll see the same thing happening now.
That means we'll see this story about this stuff like Memorial Day.
No, over the weekend and next week it'll get bigger.
Still ahead, Recovery Corner, and a call from William from Chappaqua, most likely.
Uh-oh.
And up next, the always loved Dream Diary, right here on Air America Radio.
I'm really impressed with Cortislim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since Quarter Slim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's Quarter Slim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with Quarter Slim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy to learn. You simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good morning, 20 past the hour. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. You're tuned to Air America Radio, if you were wondering, if you were sitting on your computer on the Air America site going, where am I? My therapist has told me to write down my dreams every night and take them. I just downloaded a bunch with him yesterday. I went to my therapist yesterday. You know what? I feel better today. I recommend therapy. And if you think I'm a wuss, fine. I'm a self-aware wuss who takes action in his life to make himself better. Put that in your life. All right. So this is my dream diary from last night. Some of you are going to recognize. So I'm in the Bada Bing with Tony, Paulie Walnut, Silvio, and Steve Buscemi, who, off dream here, I think is a nice addition to the show. I got on a velour tracksuit, and I've gained 50 pounds. Very uncomfortable for me. I have body issues. All right. There's girls wearing green Jets helmets dancing naked around poles. Tony Soprano smoking a cigar and sitting on a horse. I say, hey, T, I woke up this morning. I got myself a gun. I got myself a gun, T. He says, what the F are you doing in my dream sequence? I say, ooh, what the F are you doing in my dream sequence? He says, Jersey's my territory. Go have your dreams in New Mexico. Just then, Annette Bening wanders in and says, he's right, Mark. You don't have the budget for me to do a cameo in your dream. Then Carmela comes in with some dish of manicotti and says, I want half of this dream. Then Dr. Melfi comes in and says, it's your mother. You watched her having sex, didn't you? How did that make you feel? Oh, my God. Then Adriana comes in wearing the world's smallest miniskirt and says, Christopher! Christopher!
Then Buscemi says, hey, thanks about what you said earlier, Mark. This is a nice break from all those indie films. All right. Before I can answer, I look up, and Tony has turned into Chaney, and Paulie Walnuts is Paul Wolfowitz. Same initials. Creepy, right? That's what I'm thinking in my dream. In my dream, I'm paranoid. By now, he's got those white stripes in his hair, and he says, let's take a ride, he says. And then he and Chaney and that guy from Springsteen's band throw me into the trunk of the biggest SUV in the world and speed off to the song Born to Run. When the trunk opens, Tony Chaney says, lay off Bush if you know it's good for you. And the next time you show up in my pretentious, carefully art-directed dream sequence, I want my cut. Then he covers me over the head with an Emmy Award and dumps my body in the Meadowlands. I woke up and my bed was filled with wet Bon Jovi CDs. What is that about?
Wow.
Man, these are getting weird.
You're traveling quite a bit. You ever been to the Bada Bing?
No. Is it a real place?
Yes!
Oh, my God.
It's a place called Staten Dolls in Jersey. Yeah.
No, yeah. I haven't been to Jersey in a long time. You
not
know
that I've ever been inside.
No, of course, I would never suspect everything about the great drag scene of Harlem in the 20s.
I'm surprised that someone hasn't called a place Bada Bing, or is that a...
There probably is a place called Bada Bing.
Are they not allowed to because the name is over?
Well, they have Bada Bing all over Staten Dolls, but they still keep the name Staten Dolls, but you walk in the door, 2 seconds, you know it's the place where they shoot the Bada Bing.
You know, they didn't show on the, if you're keeping up with the Sopranos, Buscemi, you know, did a hit. You know, he killed some people, like, during that whole dream sequence last week, and we didn't get to see the killing, which bothers me, because, you know, you kind of want to see the killing, because the killing is sort of the good part. And there was just this poll, what was it, a Fox poll about the greatest death murder scenes, the greatest murder scenes in movie murder scenes. Who did that poll? Of course, the winner was the Psycho one, which I don't necessarily agree with.
The shower scene, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's, you know, it's really brilliant filmmaking. Yeah, it is definitely iconic. There's no doubt about that. But I can think of some other ones. Here are some of the other ones they said. Dr. Strangelove, when Slim Pickens jumps out of the plane riding the missile, or the bomb. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was great. I actually agree with that one. That is a classic, loaded, symbolically beautiful American death moment.
But how about death moments? I mean, are they? But that left stuff to the imagination. I mean, are they better when they're sort of poetic and visual like that, or do you want to see, you know, exploding guts and
there's
all
a couple
that
of scenes,
yucky stuff?
Like The Godfather is full of them. I mean, The Godfather 1 and 2, like, you know, arguably when Sterling Hayden takes the bullet in the restaurant. You remember when Pacino, when Michael shoots the police captain and he hits him in the head, and Sterling Hayden just goes.
Yeah.
You know, like there's.
No, he hit him in the neck first.
Yeah, he
hit him in the throat.
He grabbed his neck, and then the second bullet. And Hayden was an old junkie at that time. You know, I don't know if he was clean or not, but he's a great actor. But he had that beat where it's just like he didn't just go down. He went and then went bam.
Yeah.
And like take it up a notch.
He made his face look like it was disintegrating.
Yeah,
like something.
He made that weird. Oh man,
yeah,
that was good.
Look, you guys have such recall of this stuff. How do you sleep at night?
We've seen it 10,000 times.
Really, I know. It's scary.
I almost bought the DVD of The Godfather again yesterday. Do you ever think about how many times you buy stuff like records? You remember when they made the jump from records to cassette? You had to buy the cassette, and then the CD, and then you had to get the remix CD, and then you had to get the bathroom edition CD, where it's like it's just them talking about doing the song
and
the
one bit recording CD.
Oh my, you know. But the death thing, and there's more in The Godfather. I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, Luca Brasi. That's
Luca
Brasi one.
Is pretty gross.
Oh man, how about in Casino when they killed Pesci and his brother?
Oh yeah,
beat him up with the bats. The sound of those bats hitting those guys, and then throw them in the hole, still alive.
I can't watch that stuff.
Oh,
at
my
all.
God.
I mean, I cried with Bambi. I really, I set off an entire movie theater of kids crying. My mom took me to see Bambi, and I think maybe that just set the tone for my inability to see death on screen.
How about when Cowboy dies in Full Metal Jacket? Oh man, that was brutal. Like, you know, he didn't even know he was going to get hit, and he's just like, they're saying, "Hang on." He's like, "I'm good. I'm good," and you just spits blood all over everything.
Yeah, I think Americans. Oh. I think Americans are better at watching sort of these sort of unleashing their subconscious, or allowing their kind of worst nightmares to be visualized on screen and kind of handling it.
How about in Scanners where they blow the guy's head up? Oh man!
Yeah.
It was kind of shoddy, but it was good, wasn't it? What do you got, Chris?
Uh oh. He's got
Fargo. Oh, man, they put him in the wood chipper. Oh, that was good. Man.
That I do remember. That was a great film.
By the way, Bambi makes the list. Bambi's mother's death.
I know. It's traumatic. I tell you, it stayed with me all these years.
Disturbing. I remember.
For 20 years since I was five, it's really affected me.
Aliens is a great one.
Is that a backdoor way of saying you're 25?
I was just trying to get a laugh.
I see.
Alien's a good one. There's a couple good deaths in Alien.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like when the thing comes...
The first one, yeah, when it comes out of John Hurt's stomach. But there's even a couple other ones where... Even when Harry Dean Stanton gets it, when he just looks up and his cigarette, you know, he's just like boom! Just like, bam, right into his face. Sorry. Just like, we're getting all excited about it.
I kind of like some of the movie deaths in Dracula, too, because they were so stylistically. When he kills Igor.
I just saw one. Oh, yeah.
When he grabs at the top of the stairs, he crushes his neck and then tosses him down the stairs like a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
I'm really bothered that you have this such recall over all this stuff, okay?
Here's an esoteric one. I think the movie was called Breakout. I think it was a Charles Bronson movie. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to research it when we go on break. Where a guy, they actually, it just shreds him.
Yeah, well, that was an amazing thing to remember. Wow.
Should we catch that?
Yeah, I think caught that one. And there's also, there's a lot of them from The Godfather. We'll talk about that later. When we come back, Recovery Corner, author Susan Jacoby, you on the phones, and Dueling Clintons here on Air America Radio.
Opponents call the late Senator Paul Wellstone and his progressive ideals embarrassingly liberal. According to Wellstone, the future will not belong to those who are cynical. The future will belong to those who have passion and are willing to work hard to make our country better. Embarrassing? No way. Inspiring? Yes. Learn how to live out Wellstone's call to action in his book, The Conscience of a Liberal, Reclaiming the Compassionate Agenda. And don't miss the remarkable collection of Wellstone photographs featured in Terry Guidison's book, 12 Years and 13 Days, Remembering Paul and Sheila Wellstone. You can find these University of Minnesota Press publications at better bookstores everywhere, or visit our website at www.upress.umn.edu. Fight for the future of America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. With the Memorial Day weekend around the corner, there's more talk of heightened security in the U.S. FBI yesterday sent out a bulletin warnings about potential suicide bombers in America. 18,000 U.S. law enforcement bodies around the country received the communique from the feds yesterday. Commander of the 1st Marine Division in Iraq, Major General James Mattis, says it would be naive to think there was a wedding party at the scene of a U.S. military attack in a town near the Syrian border earlier this week. When asked about women and children being killed, Mattis maintains, bad things happen in wars. I don't have to apologize for the conduct of my men. Despite the ongoing turbulence, President Bush says a transition in power is ready to fly in Iraq, but he warned Republican lawmakers yesterday that things will get worse before they get better. And the Justice Department has confirmed that it is investigating the death of an Iraqi detainee packed in ice with two U.S. soldiers posing above him. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Today at 5 on Channel 7, Eyewitness News. Drivers, beware. Parking prices going through the roof. Eyewitness News prepares you now to ease the strain on your wallet. Plus, your body needs germs. Good germs that keep you from getting sick. Eyewitness News shows you the foods to eat. Plus at 6, where do builders put all that construction debris? Eyewitness News caught some of them stealing trucks to dump it on the streets. Join Diana Williams, Jade Batterinois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC7.
An all-new Oprah. Their first interview together, Lionel Richie and his daughter, Nicole.
We have not dealt with this at all.
Her addiction to heroin.
By the time you're snorting heroin, is that bottom for you?
That was definitely my bottom.
His infidelity and divorce.
You knew about the affair.
I knew everything.
They've never talked about this ever until now. Riveting. Very real.
Were you a good father?
Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
The Al Franken Factor.
Hi, this is Al Franken. Friday on the Al Franken Factor. 5.5 hours of news, commentary, entertainment, and comedy crammed into an action-packed 3 hours. Our guests will be the sanest man in the world, Joe Connison, and Frank Rich, who's even saner. Sanity, not Hannity, on the Al Franken Factor.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanford on Air America Radio.
Three past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. There's an article in this week's Village Voice about Zionistic evangelical Christians within and their influence within the Bush White House and the whole sort of like movement towards the second coming, that they believe that if Israel isn't completely occupied by Jews, Jesus can't come back. We got to rebuild the second temple. It's a big, strange story that that we're going to be talking about with our guest. And any history student knows that America was founded by God with help from his top general, Jesus. Since then, America has enjoyed divine protection during such events as the Civil War, draft riots, racial inequality, assassinations, plagues, and more. More recently, God appointed our current president and told him to start a war with Iraq and make sure Israel is in shape for Jesus to come back. Despite that, our next guest says that our Constitution, that our founding fathers fought very hard to keep religion out of our Constitution and out of government. She's Susan Jacoby, author of Freethinkers, A History of American Secularism. How are you, Susan?
I'm fine, and I'm still alive. And by the way, about the second coming in Israel, the one problem is that unless the Jews convert, they're all blasted in this second coming scenario. So Israel only needs to be prepared for a while, and then if the Jews don't convert to Christianity, they're gone along with the rest of us.
That's what I got.
You didn't know that.
144,000. There's a certain number.
Right.
Did you know that, like, a poll found that 18% of Americans expect the world to end during their lifetime? House Majority Whip Tom DeLay has a plaque in his office that reads, "This could be the day." Can you believe that? So now tell us about, you know, a lot of people think that God was implicit in the Constitution, but you said that the Founding Fathers did, in fact, intend to create a secular government.
Well, it was debated, as some of us know, only 35% of American high school students, actually. The Constitution begins with the words, "We the people." And this was debated. They debated at the Constitutional Convention and in the state ratifying conventions, Should we say that governmental power stems from God?
Right.
And they decided no, even though many the right-wing conservatives of that day predicted, quote, that God will crush us to atoms in the wreck for not mentioning. Still, American framers of the Constitution came down on the side of we the people. The religious conservatives lost that fight over the Constitution, and they've been mad ever since.
It's a 200-year plan.
Right. There have been many proposals to put a Christian amendment into the Constitution. One of the most important was during the Civil War. A bunch of ministers came to Abraham Lincoln and said to him it was time to replace we the people, not just with God, but with Jesus Christ as the Supreme Governor. And Lincoln said, "I'll take such action on this is my responsibility to my maker and my country demands." And his action was to take no action at all.
So what were the main concerns initially? I mean, in taking religion out or leaving it in?
The framers of the Constitution had two concerns.
Yeah.
One of them, today's religious right acknowledges. They were very concerned, naturally, with protecting religion from government and guaranteeing religious liberty, because this had been a source of so much trouble in Europe and was still at the same time. But they were also, and this is what the right wing denies, they were also concerned with protecting government from religion, because religious interference with government was also something that the world saw at the time. The secular government that they created was our first and most lasting gift to the world. And what an irony that now we have people in charge in Washington who deny that this was ever intended to be a secular government and who are trashing what is one of the best things we've ever held out to the world.
Mm. What's the best way to fight back and to counter that argument so people are aware of that and in a non-threatening way?
Well, I'll tell you honestly, and an entirely altruistic and
not reading your book, I mean.
Well, actually, my book is the first book which tries to trace the history of American secularism from the Revolutionary period. And I think the educational system in this country is one of the things that's really that really lowers the level of knowledge about this. Because when teachers teach about the Constitution, They do teach that our government protects religious liberty, but they never teach, for instance, you will never hear them explaining honestly to a group of high school students what I've just said about we the people.
Why not?
Because a small minority, most religious people in this country would be happy to have this explained, but there's a small minority of right-wing fundamentalists who, if a teacher stresses in a class that God was deliberately left out of the Constitution, their mommies and daddies will be on the phone to the superintendent of schools. A small group has disproportionate power.
Is this true in private and public schools?
No, private schools do. Well, it depends on the private school you're talking about. There are private Christian schools, of course, which teach even less. But I'm talking about public schools. I mean, private schools really don't enter into this in terms of the general level of public education. It's a very small proportion of Americans who do go to private schools.
How do you deal with the perception that people like a little bit of commingling of church and state? When George Bush started talking about faith-based initiatives, when he started talking about vouchers that would end up transferring money from the public sector into private parochial schools, people didn't really squawk that much.
That's right, they didn't. I think you just said a key word. People lack a little bit of commingling. One of the interesting things about Bush's faith-based programs is 75% of Americans say they support faith-based funding for social services, but when they were asked by the Pew Forum, which is a very respected group, did they support funding for groups that hire only members of their own faith? Well, no. Nearly 80% said funds shouldn't go to that. Well, Bush, by executive order, because he couldn't get it through Congress, ordered that funding be given and that religious institutions be able to hire only members of their own faith. One thing that happens here is the public's reservations. So when they look into what are specific religions going to do with the money, and most of the grants, by the way, that the Bush administration has given for faith-based funding, they're not going to all faiths. They're going to right-wing evangelical Christians.
So, Susan Jacoby, after writing your book, Free Thinkers, which is a history of American secularism, do you conclude that Americans would be better off if they relied more on themselves and less on powers greater than themselves?
I don't make any statements about Americans. We would be better off to have a government that doesn't claim divine authority for its decisions. When, you know, Bob Woodward of the Washington Post, when he asked George Bush, did he consult his father, meaning his father, the former president, before going to war in Iraq, Bush said no, he consulted a higher father. Well, too bad. The problem with consulting a higher father is the higher father speaks in different voices. Lincoln pointed this out most effectively during the Civil War when he said both the North and the South pray to the same God. But God told the Northerners one thing, go to war to end slavery, and the Southerners that the Bible supported slavery, which is a great illustration of the dangers of looking to God who speaks in different tongues to different people.
I've got a question coming in from my higher father right now. he would like to know, Susan, was secularism seen as countercultural? Because some people try to make it that way now. I mean, there's people like Senator Inhofe, who is... Inhofe, who is like a radical Christian, who sees secular thinking as completely off base.
He's stupidity embodied as a counterculture.
Right.
I believe he's been rated as the stupidest man in Congress by a number of organizations. Now, there was, from the beginning, free thought, which is actually often what secular views, the word secularism, as I'm using it, didn't really exist in the 18th century. It was often called free thought or secular, which is a much older word. It was just always a strain. There was a strong religious and a strong secular strain, and these coexisted to bring about the Constitution, because most people don't know today, evangelical Christians joined with free thinkers to keep God out of the Constitution. The evangelicals were concerned about government interference with religion. The free thinkers were concerned about religious interference with government. And in contrast, today, they made a beautiful Constitution which satisfied both of their desires.
We're going to take some calls. You want to stay with us? Susan Jacoby is with us. Her book is Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism. Please call us at 866-303-2270. I'd like to hear from Christians who think that this government should be Christian or Christians that think that it shouldn't. And I'd like to hear from some free thinkers on the topic as well. 866-303-2270 here on Air America Radio.
When did the fake news become more important than the real news? Why does the state care whom you marry? With digital art, is the computer the artist? New Yorkers always ask the hard questions. The New School helps you find answers. There's no better place to explore new ideas and improve your skills, whether you attend a lecture, take a course, or earn a degree. The New School will challenge, inform, and engage you as you take on the demands of living in today's complex world. Come to our open house night on Wednesday, May 26th, anytime from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at 66 West 12th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues to learn all about what the New School offers. Hundreds of courses, graduate and undergraduate degrees. For a New School summer course bulletin, call 1-800-319-4321, extension 158, or go to www.nsu.newschool.edu/summer158. The New School, knowledge that matters.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep. The Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. This morning's edition, I'm with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio. Our guest in studio is Susan Jacoby, author of Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. I'd love to hear from Christian theocrats. I'd love to hear from Christians, because I know you're out there judging me. I'd love to hear you sort of pipe in about how this should be a completely Christian nation. I'd also like to hear from free thinkers and Christians who don't believe that. And right now it is time for the Presidential Daily Briefing. There's a highly classified document that we get through our connection in the White House that comes across Bush's desk every day. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled, Sleeping with the Enemy.
Mr. President, it has come to our attention that an operative within your inner circle whom you once trusted implicitly has turned. This is not Richard Clark, Paul O'Neill, or even Ahmed Chalabi. It grieves me this office. It grieves this office to say that the latest threat to your presidency is your wife, Laura. While campaigning for you, your so-called wife admitted that schools need more money for No Child Left Behind. At least that's what the liberal stooges in the Associated Press reported. Her careless comments showed suspicious weakness and a display of and a lack of stonewalling skill so necessary in this administration. This may have been an isolated incident, or it may be part of a larger strategy to sabotage your candidacy by helping you. We suggest returning her to her formal silent subservience for the duration of the campaign. This policy could also help you pick up a few stray votes from fundamentalist Muslims. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
All right.
Here we go. Some votes.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Susan?
Yes.
Chris in Pennsylvania, how are you? Chris.
I just want to say, you know, I'm a Christian, and, you know, I believe in God and everything, but, you know, Bush and, you know, the right-wing Christians, you know, they give us a bad name, and, you know, they really turn a lot of people off of Christianity.
Absolutely right.
And it really irritates me.
Well, thanks for calling, Chris.
Right, and, you know, he makes a big point, though. One of my big beefs with the religious right is it's co-opted the word religion. You know, when we say America's a religious country, that doesn't mean this man who called in represents the majority. Right-wing Baptists are different from liberal Baptists. Right-wing Catholics are different from liberal Catholics who don't agree with the Pope's views, and so on. We have such a variety of religions that to equate religious with the religion of George W. Bush is ridiculous.
Un-American, even. Jess in New Jersey. Jess?
Yeah, good morning. I really appreciate the perspective and agree with the perspective of the your guest. I wonder if you can comment on our currency reading In God We Trust and why I am forced to really adopt some religious perspective just to live everyday life.
Well, from what I understand, that was originally put there as a disclaimer. thanks for your call, Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah, why was it?
I actually know the answer to
that. Okay, well, yeah,
please. Yeah, okay. Remember I told you about the amendment to Christianize the Constitution proposed to Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time, Congress also didn't want to touch the amendment. But ministers also proposed that they add God to the currency. And since that wasn't really, you know, a constitutional issue or nothing as big, the In God We Trust, which first appeared on the 2-cent coin at the end of the Civil War, was a sop to the ministers. Something that wouldn't be interfering with the Constitution. We got along for almost 100 years without In God We Trust. Then, 40 years later, Teddy Roosevelt, who was a devout Christian, tried to get God off the currency because he regarded it as blasphemous from a religious point of view to have God on the currency. Hmm. And he got called an infidel and an atheist for his efforts, which just goes to show that once you set something in copper or nickel, it's hard to get it off.
Yeah. Donna in Pennsylvania. Donna? Hi.
Yes.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I think that this country was founded on religious freedom, and that we have the freedom to be whatever we want to be, whether it be evangelical or Catholic or Muslim or Wiccan, mm-hmm. or whatever we choose to worship, but it should be left out of the government. And I think that that's why the Founding Fathers did it the way that they did it. And for these people to quarterback it 200 years later is absolutely wrong.
Right. Thank you very much for your call. I think you're definitely in agreement with everything that's being said here. Thanks for calling. That's a good question about a lot of people believe the Ten Commandments are the foundation of America's ethical system. Is that true?
The Ten Commandments, you know, with a few exceptions, are the foundation, not the Ten Commandments themselves, but the principles that are embodied in them. Opposition to killing, stealing, lying. These are the basis of all ethical systems in decent societies. The Ten Commandments happen to be, because they're written in the Western Bible, what Jews and Christians call them. But I have no problem with the Ten Commandments. They're just not. They're just ethical principles to me. And that any decent society embodies these ethical principles in their laws are important. That doesn't mean that that people who aren't Jews or Christians need to be subjected to a two-ton monument in a courthouse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, thank you so much for being with us, Susan Jacoby, the author of, where's the name of it? Freethinkers, a history of American secularism. I'd really like to have you back. It was a tremendous conversation.
I'd love to come back.
And we'll be back with Recovery Corner, and I think William from Chappaqua is going to be on the line here on Air America Radio.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of OPEN, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better-looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia-Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit built up, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
Good morning, Friday. You're listening to Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. This is Air America Radio. I am Mark, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
And in the recovery corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober, and I mean this. Today, I'm not offering my counsel to my usual sponsee, George W., but I'm going to reach out to a young man in trouble. Bill Frist, Jr., son of the U.S. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, Sr. Well, Bill, you got arrested for DWI in Princeton, New Jersey, all right? That's a drag on a bunch of levels, but not the least of which because your dad supported a bill lowering the legal blood alcohol limit. Nice. Now, I know you've got it tough. I mean, first, you're Bill Frist Jr. That's no picnic. Second, you're 21-year-old sophomore. I don't know what that's about. Who am I to judge? I was 5 years undergraduate. Third, you're in New Jersey, and that's... you know what? I'm not sure I can stop you from drinking. I'm not even sure I should try. You know, the program is about attraction, not promotion, you know, and I'm going to give you a break the cops didn't give you. First off, you know, just don't drive. You know, get a designated driver, sweep it off, you know, and take your time hitting your bottom. I can't tell you when that's going to be. All right? And, you know, things will get better for you, Bill Frist Jr. You want to do something really rebellious? You know, this drinking and driving thing ain't it. Become a Democrat. Do that. Maybe that's really what you want to do, but I don't want to bring that, any sort of a political thing, into the program. I just want to say that
If you're here, you can call. If you need me, you can call. I'm here, is what I'm saying. You know, and I'll help you out, but it's up to you. Remember, keep the plug in the jug. Think one day at a time. Okay, just don't drive. No driving for you, Bill Frist Jr. Take it easy, man.
Say hi to your dad.
First things first. Yeah, say hi to your dad. That'd be fine. I can't stand your dad. I can't stand him. I really can't stand him. I can't. He's one of those guys, not unlike Dennis Hastert, who I just look at and some bile kind of bubbles up into my throat. Hey, look at this. We got a call coming in from William in Chappaqua. Always a pleasure to have you, President. How are you, President Clinton? How's it going?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I hear you're out. You're hitting the road, huh?
That's right. I'm getting ready for my speech today.
Oh yeah, where are you speaking?
I'm giving the Robert Dole Institute of Politics inaugural Dole lecture this afternoon at the University of Kansas.
That's tremendous. Oh wait, I got Bill from Harlem on the other line. Bill.
Hey, buddy. Road trip. Let's go to KU. Let's hit it.
So what's the topic of the speech, William?
Well, I was kind of looking forward for any opportunity to interact with the student body, but now that Bill's on the line, I'm not sure my plans are going to be interact, press the flesh. You know who I want to meet down there in Kansas? I want to meet Dorothy with the little red shoes and the dog over the rainbow. Well, you should keep in mind there are some restrictions that the university is imposing, such as they're telling everyone to wear light clothing. Restrictions are for the weak. You know that, man. Come on, the big dog's got to eat. He's got to have playtime, son. He's got to do what you have to do.
It sounds like you're going to have a good time.
Oh, you know how many sororities are at the University of Kansas? Neither do I, but I'm going to start with the first one, and I'm not going to stop until I know what all of them are about. A lot of press in the flesh.
And William, are you going to be able to get through your speech, you think?
Well, he's going to have a good time, it sounds like, but afterwards I know I'm going to be paying the price. Oh, let the people pay, William.
Thanks for calling us. Always right. Good to talk to you. Yeah, man. That's the two Clintons.
Airborne.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition isn't done yet. The morning devotional is coming up. Comedian Jim David joins us in studio, and there's the liberal agenda. This is Air America Radio.
Roll into summer with great tire service offers at your participating Toyota dealer. And keep rolling all year long with free gas from Toyota. That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer, where you get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter the sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation, who will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Got plans to travel in the long Memorial Day holiday weekend? Well, the feds have plans for you. This to look out for possible suicide bombers who pose as police officers, firefighters, military troops, and or pregnant women. FBI sent out warnings to 18,000 U.S. law enforcement bodies around the country yesterday. Bulletins described as lightly classified were distributed through the FBI's secure law enforcement online intranet. Communique was motivated by a concern of increased anger against the U.S., rather than any hard intelligence warning of specific terrorism plans. Great Britain's Guardian newspaper has a riveting account of that U.S. military attack in western Iraq early in the week that claimed the lives of 40 civilians at a purported wedding party. U.S. military remained steadfast. There was no wedding, but it was the scene of a safe house for insurgent elements trekking across the Syrian border. Survivors of the attack told the British publication that American soldiers staged a massacre, bombing wedding party participants in their dead. They also said women and children who tried to escape were shot one by one by American soldiers. One military official commenting on the attack says, "Bad things happen in war." It looks like Democrats are seizing upon President Bush's apparent vulnerability with more and more scandalous information coming from the U.S. occupation from Iraq. Bush was on Capitol Hill yesterday trying to shore up support among the party faithful when Democrat Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi put the White House record in perspective.
The emperor has no clothes. When are people going to face the reality? Pull this curtain back.
California Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. Meanwhile, the hits just keep on coming on Bush like a music from the an oldie station. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry on the campaign stump in Philadelphia said President Bush's pledge to fund the No Child Left Behind Act has fallen apart while he gave a tax cut to wealthy Americans.
I don't think people should forgive a willful turning away from a promise where you think one priority is more important than the other.
Massachusetts Senator John Kerry at Edison High School in Philadelphia yesterday. And yet another example of apparent corporate influence within the Bush administration, Environmental Protection Agency approved an air pollution regulation this year based entirely on recommendations from the chemical and timber industries. This from the L.A. Times this morning. EPA apparently ignored new scientific studies warning of health risks from formaldehyde emissions and approved a new rule in February could save the wood products industry hundreds of millions of dollars. Agency based the rule on a cancer risk model developed by a chemical industry think tank. That assessment is about 10,000 times less stringent than the level previously used by the EPA in regulating formaldehyde exposure. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
If you eBay or are thinking about using eBay or just want to make lots of cash buying and selling on eBay, then grab a pen to write down an important toll-free number. Last year, entrepreneur Adam Ginsberg did over $15 million in business on eBay. He wants to send you a free tape that explains how to make fast cash on eBay. He has engineered cash-generating techniques to sell products you would never think of and massively increase the value of items without spending much money. Using his program, you could develop a steady income by building your own eBay business. If you choose, you'll never have to work in an office again. Instead, you could sit back and turn eBay into your own private cash machine. You owe it to yourself to evaluate Adam's money-making opportunity absolutely free. Call right now, 800-900-3118 to get his free tape. That's 800-900-3118. Don't miss this limited-time offer to secure your financial freedom. Call 800-900-3118.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Ford Quality Check certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous 115-point inspection. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain, limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Bring the noise with Chuck D.
What's happening, everybody? Yours truly, the Groovy Ghoulie, the Dapper Toe Tapper, the Human Firecracker, Mr. Kyle Ice Jason, coming at you live and direct. This week, with my co-host, Mr. Chuck D, we will be playing music that moves and inspires. Also, special in-studio guest, Mr. Stylistic Jones. You do not want to miss the next Bring the Noise.
Bring the Noise with Chuck D on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today we've got some thoughts we want to share with the Heavenly Father. Plus, we'll share the President's thoughts as entered in his presidential Palm Pilot. We've got comedian Jim David coming up. We've got, oh, man, we're going to talk about stuff. This has been a very exciting Friday morning. Right now I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning. Sue got a very nice email moments ago.
Yeah.
Someone wrote a little email and said that we sucked. Thank God for Sue. Someone out there said the fellas suck.
I think it's one of my kids.
Yeah.
Sure. No, Susan Jacoby, our last guest.
She was all worked up about her movie choices.
Yeah,
about
I know.
Her movie taste.
I know.
They were bad, though, guys. They were.
The Godfather's not a bad movie.
No, The Godfather, with the exception of Godfather 1 and 2, which are you know, great movies. But you know what?
Scanner's not a bad movie.
It is not
no,
that
it's not.
Good.
It's a pretty smart movie. It's kind of it's a bad movie, but in a good way. It was kind of cool. Come on, you got to admit it was kind of cool.
Yeah,
Cronenberg's a genius. He really
I'm
is.
Just alarmed at the amount of recall, detail for detail. You guys went head to head on every single kind of gory massacre, death, blow up, bludgeoning. Frame by frame,
oh,
you guys seem to remember
it. We didn't even get into that. We didn't get into, like, the Texas Chainsaw
Massacre.
It's a
guy thing. It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, no, it's bad. is it a guy thing? I guess maybe
it
is.
I think it is more of a guy thing.
What do you remember about movies, Sue?
Actually, pretty much nothing. I come out of movies, and you know what? You're standing outside in the lobby at the theater. People go,
yeah.
Remember that scene when he looks at her, and he says blah, 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 and she says da, 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 and I'm going, what? Did we just see that movie? I mean, I'm sort of in the moment. When I come out, I have zero recall of movie dialogue.
Really?
Do
you have favorite films? I mean, do you look at films in sort of the sort of insightful academic way you look at other things? Or do you just think that
he said dripping with sarcasm.
I don't think I was being sarcastic.
I think
I was being serious. I just wanted, because some people take in movies just as, you know, sort of like a distraction or an entertainment. And other people, like me, like to go see a movie and then end up yelling at my wife for a half an hour. Because she does not agree with how brilliant the movie was.
I did see Super Size Me this week, and that did stay with me.
I know
especially,
that guy.
Especially the bit when they're showing the stapling together of an incredibly obese guy's stomach, with having his stomach reduced. That was really
also, and we're the weirdos.
Yeah.
There she's sitting there recounting.
Like, I was wincing.
Like, the only thing I think
I can remember.
I was
writhing in my seat.
Is when they were stapling a guy's stomach together.
But we're
the
freaks.
You remember the dialogue?
Ooh. I remember watching The Shining and being kind of on the floor, kind of under the chairs, you know, holding onto somebody, unable to watch.
Oh, my God, man.
You'd have trouble with Last House on the Left or any of those really classic, you know, slasher films they made in the early 70s.
No, I have trouble with Lassie.
Oh, my goodness.
What about Nurse Betty? Did you see Nurse Betty?
I did. My husband edited Nurse Betty.
Was there some violence in that at all?
There was. It was horrible, and I couldn't look at it, and they cut and cut and cut that violence. That was really ghastly. I can't do that.
Ghastly?
Yes.
No, I'm not sure.
In fact,
ghastly.
I think when I watched it, Stephen told me, I think he put his hands over my eyes and told me not to look.
There's some things my wife will not see, you know, and will not, just because she doesn't need it in her head. I mean, at some point, you got to put your head filter on. It's sort of like, you know, in a realistic sense, the Nick Berg video. I mean, I chose not to see that. If it were a different part of my life, like 10 years ago, I used to be completely fascinated with morbid stuff, like the Bud Dwyer. There was a video going around of Bud Dwyer, I think his name was, the Pennsylvania Treasury guy, the guy who blew his head off at a press conference for embezzling.
I remember that.
Who?
Yeah.
He was a comptroller, yeah. And that was going around, and when I saw that, like, I had to watch it. I was like, I got to see this, man. Some friend gave it to me. It was a televised press conference of a real dude who had embezzled money from the state, and during a press conference, pulled the Magnum out of a briefcase, stuck it in his mouth, and blew his brains all over the state flag. Now, 10 years ago, I was like, dude, you got to see this. Because, you know, people had all this weird secret tapes and information, and you even wanted to share it with your friends, you know what I mean? And after I watched it, it took me 6 months to get it out of my head. I mean, it's still in my head. But I've disarmed it somehow. But it polluted my brain forever. With real movies, with fictional movies, some things disturb me, but they certainly don't disturb me like real footage or news footage.
Yeah, a lot of friends who are foreign correspondents and have covered wars and have seen kind of terrible things, they don't go and see those kind of movies.
Because they're like fake.
They've just seen too much kind of real nasty, true, unsettling stuff.
So they don't
want
to be bothered.
They just don't want it.
Yeah, don't bother me with this.
Give me, you know.
That's not the way bullets go in. I've seen it. It doesn't explode like that. He wouldn't bleed that quickly.
Yeah. My goodness. Well, you know, I'm thinking, what would Christiane Amanpour watch? As many war zones as she's been in her life. The woman from CNN. I mean, she's been everywhere. She's seen everything.
Well, there's a lot of people like that. Like, even there's some of our listeners. Like, you know, there's people that are very serious because of their nature and because of their jobs or whatever, and they just want the facts. They want to be in reality. They don't, you know, they don't want to be distracted with, you know, fabrications or fictions or comedy per se. They just, you know, want to stay in what they see as the truth. And I picture her as one of those kind of people. If she likes things, I think it's probably very organic kind of folk dancing, I think, maybe.
Oh, man.
Shall we make a transition now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, you know, there's so many things to talk about this morning, whether we're talking about Iraq or, you know, Bush at home. He met with his buds yesterday, GOP lawmakers, again to hype them on the tenuous notion that the June 30th transfer date of power in Iraq is actually going to work out okay.
He didn't kill, though, did he? He didn't really hit
it. No, he didn't really hit it that much. Matter of fact, there was a guy from the National Review that posted something on the infamous internet.
Yeah.
That essentially said he was a complete flop.
Yeah, yeah.
With talking to it. Now, he didn't take any questions. He didn't, the media was not allowed in the session, which is kind of sad in a way because, you know, Bush seems to have this love-hate thing with the media. At one point, you know, he's only had, what, 3 press conferences since he's been president? But on the other hand, he has agencies that do commercials for his programs that look just like news reports. I don't know which side of the fence he's actually on it. But be that as it may, there are, of course, and this is hindering Bush as he goes along, more graphic photos that have been obtained by the Washington Post from the Abu Ghraib prison. And it's getting to the point where somebody's going to say it's systemic stupid. There's just so much of this that has now been documented.
Well, the weird thing is, like, how can Bush get up and honestly sell that what he's doing is, you know, like, everything's working out? It seems to me that after a certain point, these guys just staying on their talking points and staying on their program is, like, ridiculous. It's almost psychotic. It's like, how can you say that everything is working just as planned or that, you know, we're going to be out of there at the end of June? It's ridiculous.
Because he's the optimist in chief.
Yeah, but it's almost like he's trying to will it.
Exactly,
into the
that's exactly what he's doing.
People.
It's insulting.
So now there's all these new photographs, Riley?
Yeah, there's bunches and bunches of
new girls. New girls with their thumbs up.
Yeah, new girls with their thumbs up. And you know, these people are all going to get court-martialed. You know that. As they begin to identify where these photos were taken and when they took place. I mean, obviously they took place at Abu Ghraib, but on what cell blocks or whatever. More and more people are going to get dragged into this thing. And of course, there's going to be a two-tiered situation here. They're going to be the grunts, the non-commissioned officers, who are going to go before these court martials, and half of them, probably like Jeremy Sivitz, are going to end up singing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are going to be the higher ups, the Karpinskis and the others that have been involved.
Cambone. Going down.
Well, I don't think Cambone's going to get indicted. I think Cambone's just going to resign in disgrace. I don't know that.
Get a job in the private sector.
In the private sector. Lobbying like Steve Largent.
He's the defense intelligence guy.
Yeah, he's deputy secretary of defense for intelligence.
A newly invented.
He took office, I believe, March 7th of last year. So he's new on the job. And probably not long for the job at the rate he's going.
These new photographs have dead people in them. That's the new twist, is they have smiling women with their thumbs up and, you know, sitting next to dead people.
Well, the other thing, the other twist on this as well is that there's not only these, you know, horribly, you know, demeaning and beyond dehumanizing, just, you know, messed up attitudes in these photographs, but then they degenerate into photographs, I don't think it's video, photographs of consensual sex between troops.
Yeah.
It's just that I find incredibly twisted, how they went from that to photographs of consensual sex, as if there's some kind of connection that it was a turn on. That I find incredibly troubling. I mean, I feel incredibly, you know, tolerant. People can do whatever they want in their, you know, in their intimate lives. But that's messed up. I'm sorry.
Just the transition from, like,
even you might find that messed up, guys.
I don't know.
It's like the setting, you know. It's like all of a sudden, you know, they're stacking, you know, detainees and, you know, beating up detainees and making them masturbate in front of each other and stacking them in pyramids.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. And then what happens is, like, hey, what the hell? There's no more morality. Why don't we all just have sex? Keep the camera going. It's almost like the Seven Deadly Sins illustrated or something.
It is. It's like Sir Hieronymus Bosch. It's like the Garden of Delights, but then, you know, the Garden of, you know, of just moronic evils. It's just out of control.
It on some level, you know, it's not
it doesn't surprise me. It's like once you break down those walls in the human mind, once you transgress to a certain degree and you're above and beyond morals or anything that's right and wrong, well, clearly that's wrong. But once you enter that gray area, you just do anything. People just are like, you know, to hell with it, literally.
Now, there's other things going on as well, and that includes, and we're going to do this real quick. Remember that story about the flights that went on where the Saudis supposedly flew out of the country?
Oh,
nobody
else
was
right
after
9/11.
Yeah, well, TheHill.com has got a big story about the fact that the Bush administration has absolutely refused to speak to the 9/11 commission who has questioned that stuff. We'll have more about that later.
Mm. Definitely. And the morning devotional and the president's Palm Pilot all coming up. Air America Radio.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Oh, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Good morning. 20 past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. We're going to talk about some stuff. This is, like, it's been a really great morning. I hope you're having a good morning as well. Right now, I got my guy in the White House who downloaded this from the Presidential Palm Pilot. Here's the schedule for George Bush for today, May 21st. 8 a.m., wake up. Prepare for trip to Louisiana by polishing stories about the good old drinking days. Also, just for laughs, pack 35-year-old vomit-stained sweatshirt. You know, where it says Yale. 10 a.m., speak at Louisiana State University commencement, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Receive honorary doctorate of mixology. Just in case you feel like relapsing. Noon, lunch at Emeril's. Bam! Sorry, I had to. Ask if he has anything low carb. 1:15 p.m. Attend Victory 2004 reception, Metairie, Louisiana. Use funny Cajun accent to make joke about Louisiana's low reading scores. That would have been better if I didn't jumble it. Bam! Take it up a notch. 3 p.m. Go to Bourbon Street. Do something charmingly stupid so Laura can talk about it on her next sit-down with Leno. 5 p.m. Return to Washington. When people ask, how was Louisiana, say, bam! Too French. Take it up a notch. Bam! Skip dinner. 7 p.m. Skip dinner. Still gassy from Emeralds. Bam. 8:15 p.m. Order terrorist prisoners moved from Abu Ghraib to Louisiana. Then sick gators on them. 9:30 p.m. Lights out. Lay awake thinking, on Bourbon Street, they're still drinking and puking. Oh, I wish I was. Bam. That's the president's schedule. You know, and Riley and I were talking off mic here about, it's very interesting that there's all this stuff being that's coming out, like in Michael Moore's movie and this all this talk about in the 9/11 hearings and also, you know, in Craig Unger's book about the Saudis that were ushered out of the country, basically.
Yes.
Right after 9/11 when the airspace was closed. And this is, you know, the weird thing about people who refuse to let this stuff into their mind is that this is not, there's a lot of things that are not liberal spin. This isn't the Democratic spin. There are a lot of facts going on that some people need to wake up to so they can, you know, get a clear picture of what this administration is doing.
Well, this is from TheHill.com, and what they're saying is that the Bush administration has refused to answer any questions from the 9/11 Commission regarding who approved or who authorized those flights. Now, what's interesting about this is that in the immediate aftermath of September 11th, people were denying that the flights ever even took place. When they said that the country was locked down and there were no flights, they did not deviate from that for the longest time. Now we're seeing people asking questions not about whether or not the flight took place, or whether or not the flights took place, but who authorized them, which would presuppose that they actually did take place. Now, 2 days after September 11th, Bush met with one of your favorite people,
Prince Bandar.
Bandar,
magical sword.
That's right, and there's. And his magical jetway, it appears. There's some speculation that Bush himself authorized those flyouts. And, of course, the members of the bin Laden family were among those taken out of the country.
And the argument is, it's like, why didn't they hold him, get some information, find out where the renegade son was, maybe they'd called him, check their cell phones, do something other than just give him safe flight home and put him out of our jurisdiction.
Now, all I saw in the roll call report was that Prince Bandar said he did not discuss the flights out with George Bush. I said, Prince Bandar. Bandar.
People are just going to be like, immature idiots.
He said that he didn't discuss them, but how do we know there wasn't some other form of communication, or not that the fact that he just authorized them point blank, you know, end of discussion, that that might in fact be true, but not in the way he wants us to believe, that there was no discussion. He asked, the guy said, yes, I authorized them, and that was it.
What I don't understand is why every day on the news someone should go, let's talk about the bin Laden-Bush connection. Every day on the news somebody should say that, you know, Bush has a relationship, you know, with his family and with, you know, being subversive in the fact that, you know, he was willing to escort, you know, Saudis out of the country. And they knew at that time, I think, didn't they, Riley, that many of these hijackers were possibly Saudis? I mean, did they know that yet?
Yeah, they knew.
No, not just possibly Saudis. They were, members of the bin Laden family.
But it was right after. I was just wondering if all the information had come in about how many of the terrorists were actually Saudis, you know, at that time, the day after 9/11.
But by the time Bush and Bandar met, they did. No. Right. That was the 13th. It was 2 days
later. It was 2 days later.
And this is a lot of this stuff is in Michael Moore's new movie.
Right.
And he thinks it's one of the reasons why, you know, he's being stifled by Disney, because Disney, I think Euro Disney, was funded partially by Saudi money. And also, you know, of course, the Jeb Bush connection in Florida, that they were afraid of reprisals.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there was a lot of Saudi money came into this country during the 90s.
Still is.
Yeah. Still here. Some of it was pulled out, you know, during the recession. You know, people said, well, there's better places to keep our dough. But bottom line, the Saudis still have a very strange role, both financially, I think, and politically. With the top figures in this country. And you know what's really, really starting to get funny, and this is something that's not getting reported a lot, just shifting gears for a moment. Bush is now starting to engender the same kind of concern among Republicans about whether or not he can get reelected that Democrats have been talking about with John Kerry. This meeting up on Capitol Hill is the second one in 2 weeks, right, with GOP lawmakers. And some of these guys are now starting to say, you know what, we're not sure he's going to get through this.
The war's out of control. I mean, it's sending the I got to assume at a certain point that even Republicans have got to wake up and say, look, you know, he's bankrupting this country, you know, and it's going to stay bankrupt for many generations if we don't do something.
I think that's coming from, you know, Republican Party offices across the country, because
yeah.
You know, I had heard from actually one of our assistant producers whose dad works at one of these places, saying that when all the Abu Ghraib prison abuse stuff came out, it's like, you know, man, this looks really terrible. They're kind of wringing their hands. This looks really, really bad. How
wringing
do you get over this?
With the weird devious smirk of someone who's like, yeah, Bush might be taking the hit.
I mean, the reason that congressmen, Republicans in Congress, are starting to say this is that's the word they're getting back from their home states. They don't come up with these independent thoughts. They're only kind of, they're really acting on the indications that they're getting
mm-hmm.
from whichever state they're from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Monday is going to be a very important day in the life of our president. He's going to the Army War College. Remember, we spoke to someone from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, not that long ago.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to the Army War College to announce the actual meat to the bones of his transfer of power thing, which nobody's been able to get a handle on. He keeps saying it's going to happen. But when people ask him how it's going to happen, give us the mechanics, he has come up with nothing.
It's all politics now.
Well,
it's a symbolic thing now.
His people have allegedly been working day and night. He met, I believe, yesterday as well with Rumsfeld and Cheney and that crew about how in the world they're going to transfer this power over without creating an extraordinary bloodbath. Inside of Iraq, a bloodbath, by the way, that people before the war started said was going to happen if the United States went in this way.
And the military is starting to say that too, right?
Yep.
They're starting to say that, you know, no matter what happens, any sort of transfer of power is going to cause a bloodbath.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. We need more troops. All of this is speaking to the fact that Bush really doesn't have a plan. And by the way, even the reports that I've seen are saying that he's not going to enunciate the full plan on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Also, that the plan is, from the details that have come out over the last week, that the Americans are going to be much more in control of all the various kind of institutions than they've led anybody to believe.
Well, that's what's nothing's really going to change that much.
No, it'll be in name only.
Yeah.
So in other words, they'll be shutting down newspapers and magazines.
Well,
and
Negroponte's going to be at the embassy, and the troops are still going to be there. And I don't know. It just sounds like he's just paying lip service to something.
It is a mess. Straight ahead, comedian Jim David breaks those Southern stereotypes. You on the phone and the liberal agenda. We're right back here on Air America Radio.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More graphic photos and digital videos on prisoner abuse in Iraq this morning. Justice Department has confirmed that it is investigating the latest batch that made their way to Arab television early in the week. Two U.S. soldiers were seen posing with a dead Iraqi detainee. Feds say they have no empirical evidence pointing to a possible attack, but they put law enforcement agencies on notice yesterday about the likelihood of suicide bombings in the U.S., especially over the next holiday weekend. Democratic Presidential candidate John Kerry has called on President Bush to step into that contract dispute that threatens to close an Ohio bearings plant. And an aide to Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat has been convicted of ordering shootings that killed 4 Israelis and a Greek monk. This in addition to supplying arms for other attacks. Marwan Barghouti had been considered the odds-on favorite to replace Arafat. Wayne Gilman, Air America, Radio News.
today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Drivers, beware. Parking prices going through the roof. Eyewitness News prepares you now to ease the strain on your wallet. Plus, your body needs germs. Good germs that keep you from getting sick. Eyewitness News shows you the foods to eat. Plus, at 6, where do builders put all that construction debris? Eyewitness News caught some of them stealing trucks to dump it on the streets. Join Diana Williams, Sade Baderinois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah. Their first interview together, Lionel Richie and his daughter, Nicole.
We have not dealt with this at all.
Her addiction to heroin.
By the time you're snorting heroin, is that bottom for you?
That was definitely my bottom.
His infidelity and divorce.
You knew about the affair?
I knew everything.
They'd never talked about this ever until now. Riveting. Very real.
Were you a good father?
Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Unfiltered.
The government has just taken a big duty on Sesame Street and paid no attention to the Sesame Street neighborhood. Besides Big Bird, the most prominent resident is Oscar, a homeless guy who lives in a garbage can. And we think it's adorable that he just lives in the garbage can for 30 years and that that's some sort of social progress within a community. I don't think so. Cookie Monster is still a hopeless addict. Bert and Ernie live together yet can't get married. They have a love that they cannot speak.
Unfiltered on Air America Radio.
Rock and roll! Yeah, that's right. You're still listening to Air America. I just got excited. I know it's weird for a liberal to get excited about rock and roll. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition. Mark Riley. Stu Ellicott. No, of course not. No, of course not. It's just like sometimes I got it in my head that, you know, people are out there going, what's all the racket? Can't we just get some information? And that laugh you don't recognize is my buddy Jim David, a comedian. You might have seen him on his own Comedy Central Presents. He's a regular on Tough Crowd. He's going to be appearing in one of the new Comedy Central specials, Out on the Edge. Here he is, Jim David. How are you, sir?
Boy, are you in your element. Look at you. You're like doing air guitar and everything, standing in front of the re-defeat Bush sign.
Yeah! Yeah, giving away like, the secrets.
Like, I'm the king of the world. I mean, look,
actually, you remind me. It reminds me of that scene. Did you see Almost Famous?
I was in Almost Famous.
Oh yeah, that's right. You were. Hello. That's right. That's
he
right.
is Almost Famous.
I mean, that's why I thought of you.
Yeah.
But the scene where Billy Crudup is on the roof going,
I'm on drugs.
I'm on drugs.
That's what you look like this morning.
I was the angry promoter. Yeah. Powerful 45 seconds of cinema.
Hey, look, I thought you did fine.
Well, you
held my attention for those 45 seconds.
Fine isn't good enough around here.
Listen, you're really cooking. I have a great career. I just performed at the Akron, Ohio Home Depot Caulking Conference. I performed.
At least they pay.
That's right. I performed at the Enron Family Picnic and Morale Boosting Tractor Pull.
So you're down south.
Everything's great. Yeah, I was actually.
Yeah.
I was actually down there. Yeah, in my home state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
I was just doing a benefit. I went down there and I did a benefit for my home. For the community theater that I was raised in.
Oh, my God.
Listen to this. The lady who played the piano in all of the shows I was in since the fifth grade was there.
Really?
My pediatrician was there.
Oh, my God.
And my urologist.
Oh,
so
God.
I wanted to. And so when I was in the seventh grade, I had to drop out of Peter Pan. I was in Peter Pan, the show.
Yeah.
But I had to drop out because one of my testicles was swollen to the size of a tennis ball. And so the pediatrician who examined my testicles and the urologist who operated on it were in the audience.
Does this fall under too much information?
I just thought how wild that all these people
those from people that knew these intimate things about you.
I know. I just wanted to say this is the first time that two people in the audience have examined my testes. That's the first time. Usually there's only one in the audience.
He's not a doctor.
No. It's just, No, it's just some toothless stew bum I picked up on McDougal Street.
No, it's
outside of the Comedy Cellar. But, no, I was down there, and yeah. it was really very interesting because I, you know, it was a, like, the audience at this benefit, there were like 500 people there. It was sold out.
Yeah.
And they were like people I've known all my life and people who I haven't known but who knew who I am.
It's like a reunion.
Kind of. It was sort of like Bette Midler and the Rose going home, except I didn't die. but it was really fascinating because I was interested to see how they would react to my political material.
Yeah, you know, how'd that go?
Well, it really...
Because everyone assumes that it's full of Republicans there.
Everybody assumes that everybody in the entire state is a bunch of wing nuts, and that's so not true. I've everywhere I've been in the South, like, I perform at the Punchline in Atlanta quite a bit, and I perform at... I'm going to Florida, and everybody assumes that everybody down there is a hardcore Bush supporter and a hardcore... And they're not at all. They are... I don't think we talk about liberal and conservative
right.
all the time.
Yeah.
The more I perform all over the country, and I don't know, maybe if you agree with me or not, but I think that these terms almost exist like on television and on the radio.
People are people.
You know, I think that most people just don't put themselves into that much of a category.
And also, you know, I know you know this is true because you certainly know how to. My friend Blaine Capatch once said.
Yeah.
You know, Blaine Capatch, he's a comic, mm-hmm. and he does very smart material. And I asked him, how do you pull that off in the middle of America where people don't, you know, really register that? He goes, I know how to wrap it around a bat. You know, there's something about delivering comedy. Like, you find that you can say whatever you want if you appeal to their humanity and not condescend.
And if you don't stand up and preach to them.
Right.
You know, may Bill Hicks rest in peace. He was a great comedian, but toward the end, he got very, very preachy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt like when I saw him towards the end of his life, I thought that he was, I just thought, why don't you put it on a pamphlet and let me read it at my leisure?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
We're
because
talking to Jim David.
I'm waiting for some jokes, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about Bill was, like, I mean, Bill had a message, and Bill was a great joke writer.
Great.
And I think that, you know, after a certain amount of time, he got very used to just, you know, it's like, you know, I don't care what you think about me, sleep tight, we're moving on. So he would actually do the show for an audience that, whether it existed or not, it didn't matter to
him. Right. It was all about him, yeah.
So what do you think of Bush, honestly?
What do I think of Bush? Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a very controversial figure. You know, some people say that he's a visionary leader who's going to lead us into a better tomorrow, and some people say that he's the demon spawn of the infected seed of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Comedian Jim Davis. So what was it like? What did you find? Did you find that there were a lot of Democrats? Did you find that people were concerned about the country down there?
I think that people have had it.
Yeah.
My parents are, and their friends are, country club going, church going, southern, upper middle class white people. Mm-hmm. They are like the most typical southern, you know what I mean? They are a middle America.
Right.
Totally. And they have had it with him.
Yeah, what in particular?
Because they feel like they're being totally lied to.
Yeah.
You know, they feel, and my mother will just say, well, every time he opens his mouth, you know that nothing's coming out that makes any sense. The man just doesn't make any sense. You know, and the way that she has to talk, I mean, you know, is so, like, totally, yeah. Well, I just don't understand it, you know.
Yeah.
They don't get it. They don't understand why, I think that they probably supported the Iraq war in the beginning because mm-hmm. they were told that they had a gun pointed at us, basically.
Right.
I mean, we were all told, you know, they all said that we have these WMDs pointed at us, and if we don't get them now,
right.
then the boogeyman is going to come and get us.
Right.
And that has turned out, of course, not to be true, and it never was.
And he's the boogeyman.
And Georgie B is the boogeyman, you know. And so they feel betrayed.
Right.
And but yet I think that a lot of them don't know whether or not to vote for Kerry because he hasn't defined himself well enough in their eyes. I mean, they sort of like, well, who is this man?
He's got a new slogan, Mark. I can't, now it's eluding me. The slogan must be not be that good. Kerry's new.
Let America be America again.
I think it's a really great slogan.
That sounds all right. Of course, you've got all these people out there who are trying to define what America is, you know, the real America. You remember? Like Newt Gingrich said that Bill Clinton was the enemy of normal Americans. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was trying to define America on his own terms. And so there's all these people doing out there. And I think that there's not that big a difference, really.
But his notion, that slogan is the fact that, you know, whatever you thought America was, if you think it's been, you know, America now looks a bit less honorable, kind of less honest. It appeals to, it's not nostalgic, but it appeals to people's sense of kind of decency.
Well, yeah. I mean, but they're trying to say that all the leftists are the people who want to, you know, as Pat Robertson said, kill our children, destroy capitalism, practice witchcraft, and become lesbians. You remember that quote?
We just practice witchcraft.
You remember that? And, you know, it's interesting. Pat Robertson blamed the floods and the hurricanes in the Midwest on the homosexuals and the abortionists. Listen, you know, if God is going to judge us for our sins, I don't think he's going to start in the Midwest.
We're talking to comedian Jim David, and you want to call Jim, call us, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Maybe we hear some, like, from some Southern Democrats. That'd be kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, or Southern Republicans that are going to vote for Bush, because there's a lot of them.
Or people that just want to talk to comedian Jim David. Please give us a call on Air America Radio.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
Good God, we're back. It's Morning's Edition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Jim David, comedian. And very funny man. Sue Ellicott is here, as always. Mark Riley is here. I think we're going to do the quick news bit right now.
Right, and we'll get further details of this at the top of the hour, but an Iraqi source has told the Associated Press that Iraqi police have arrested 4 people in the killing of Nick Berg.
What, did they get Zarqawi? It didn't say that.
It doesn't say anything like that.
We'll be,
again, an Iraqi source. But we'll have more details at the top.
We are taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. If you want to talk to Jim David, the comedian, also we're addressing sort of Democrats in the South and also with some of the other stuff he talked about, people being fed up. Right now it's time, as we do every day, for our sacrilegious morning devotional. Dear Lord, today we offer a prayer for your servant, George W. Things are going down the tube so fast for him that he's actually having trouble in Louisiana. Now, Lord, here's a state that has a team called the Saints. Their counties are called parishes. It's in the South. It's right next to Texas. They're really, really fat people there. How can Bush possibly be having problems in a place like that? I mean, come on. Did some Creole witch put the whammy on him? Did somebody slip a liberal pill into the Hurricanes at Pat O'Brien's? Or is he just an unbelievably crappy president and people are fed up? So, Lord, if it's just a curse, undo the voodoo that you do so well. Amen.
Go in peace, my son.
There you go.
Go,
there you go.
In peace.
We got Bill in South Carolina. Bill, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, man. What's on your mind?
First of all, I just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job, and it's wonderful to hear a liberal viewpoint on daytime radio.
Thank you.
Very strange as well. It's unnerving.
It is strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
You expect to hear Dr. Laura, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to say I wish I shared Jim's positive view of liberal viewpoints in the South, but I'm living in South Carolina, and I don't have that impression at all.
Where do you live?
I live just outside of Charleston.
You sound like you're sort of surrounded there, like I'm in trouble. You need to.
He sounds like he's in a bunker.
Well, I'm a displaced Midwesterner, and I was raised a Democrat, and followed my job down to South Carolina. And it is a very different place to live.
It's uncomfortable when you can't talk how you feel like you want to talk, isn't it?
It is very strange, and it is incredibly isolated. And,
well, what town are you in?
It's a little town right outside of Charleston, Somerville.
Right.
I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad that we're here for you, because it sounds like you could certainly use the relief.
Well, Charleston is known is famous for its historical area.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of preserved in time, locked in time, and I didn't realize...
Not a liberal time.
Well, it's, there's a reason for it. There's very little coming in and very little going out.
Right. Well, but you're in a town and you're in an area where they still revere Strom Thurmond and they still revere, you know, all of those old, segregationists and all those things. You know, that's the area this poor guy is in.
Well, thanks for calling, man, and I keep listening. I'm glad we're here for you.
And the highway is right there.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Sarah in Atlanta, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very good.
I just wanted to say that I agree very much with the gentleman in the studio. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Democrats in the South. We just don't get the coverage anymore. We kind of feel like we're working underground, like we're working for the resistance.
Could you drive over to South Carolina and visit Bill, please?
Really? He needs your help.
I'll try. I'll hold his hand and let him know he's not alone.
You live in Atlanta?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I'm from Asheville, North Carolina, and so we're from more larger cities than this guy that just called before.
So, yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot more. But still, I just don't think, just all the people, all these Bush supporters, all over the South. I was trying to meet them. And where are they?
Yeah.
Maybe I just don't hang around with the right crowd or something. Maybe I'm not in the right parking lot.
Not the right party.
Once you get outside of the bigger cities, it's frightening how Republican they are.
Just frightening. Thank you very much for calling, Sarah. Yeah, we have Jim David, the comedian here in the studio. You might have seen him on Comedy Central Presents. Tough crowd. He's going to be up on an upcoming special. Out on the Edge, it's called.
Out on the
Comedy
Edge.
Central.
That's
yeah,
right.
Mark, what's going on?
Well, I got a question for Jim David. I'm curious because if you look at the prisoner abuse scandal,
mm-hmm.
we see that this is hurting a lot of a diverse group of working people, the sons and daughters of working people who want to be school teachers, who want maybe join the reserves to get some level of education. Whatever. And it astonishes me that people in the South don't see how the Bush administration is kind of playing them in that, because they're going to be the scapegoats. Well, you know, rightly or wrongly, they're going to be the scapegoats of this prisoner abuse scandal.
You mean the parents and the families?
The families, yeah, the families.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The, why don't they see it that way?
Yeah.
Because they are, it's very black and white to them, I think. Just from my, it's the people, when, and I know Mark has had this problem too, is that whenever you try to do, for example, complicated political material, it doesn't work as well because most people, like for example, we were just talking about Chalabi, you know, and how they raided his home. Most people, if I did stuff about that, they would not know what I was talking about.
Right.
And with these guys, when they see the prisoner abuse scandal, and so they look at that and they think, well, it's just a bunch of people letting off steam. It's a lot of people just doing fun things, and they don't see exactly what's led to that. They only respond to images. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the way we are right now. We live in a culture that responds to very, very quick things.
That's comedian Jim David, if you're listening out there in the world, and like you're right. And also, if you bring information they haven't heard before, they're like, "What's with Smarty Pants trying to make us seem stupid?"
Exactly.
We'll be back with more calls. Stay on the line if you're on the line. Jim David's going to stay here right here on Air America.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today and get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
If you mess up one more thing, you're fired. That's what my boss just told me. Guess I can't blame him, though. I've been forgetting more and more things all the time. Small things and sometimes big things. Yesterday, I forgot a meeting. Today, I forgot our biggest client. I might as well forget my paycheck.
If your poor memory is putting your job at risk, you need to call now for a free CD on the most remarkable memory improvement program available. The Memory Optimizer shows you how easy it is to dramatically improve your memory now and protect it for the future without drugs or dietary supplements. You'll be amazed at how much more easily you remember names, dates, facts, figures, whatever you need to remember. Before you do another thing, call 1-800-900-8182 for your free Memory Optimizer CD. You'll discover how easy it is for you to improve and protect your memory in all areas of your life. Call now, 1-800-900-8182. That's 1-800-900-8182.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at gemhr.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Coming in for a landing here on Morning Sedition. It's been a really good morning.
A hell of a morning.
That's Mark Riley. Sue Ellicott is here. I'm Mark Maron. Jim David, the comedian, is in our studio. I'm going to take two more calls here because we got North Carolina and we got South Carolina. Cleveland, I'm sorry. we're going to Susan in North Carolina. Susan.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Where are you from in North Carolina?
I'm from Fayetteville.
Fayetteville, okay. So
yes,
what's on your mind?
And I'm a native of Fayetteville, Jim.
Okay.
and I wanted to say that we are here. You just don't hear from us.
But
the Democrats are here, and we were not fooled by Bush, not at all.
Oh, good. Good.
I told my kids when they turned 18 I would take them to register to vote if they would register Democrat.
Oh, good for you. That was good.
Bribery.
Coercion.
Yeah, a little coercion and subversion and mind control.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, the Bush administration has a handle on that.
No,
that's
kidding.
For sure.
It's a free country.
And I think the reason
family.
That people respond to him is because he's played the religion card so well, or these right-wingers. And I resent the fact that they have called themselves Christians.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because...
they're not.
Well, they may be Christian, but it doesn't mean they're good.
Well, that's exactly true.
Or no national policy.
Right.
You know. Just,
yes.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling, Susan. Really appreciate it. Now we're going to hear a representative from South Carolina. Sherry in South Carolina, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I'm from North Carolina, down the mountain from where Jim's from.
Ah.
Where are you from?
Valdez, outside of Morganton.
Mobile home?
Yeah.
Double wide?
No.
Oh, that's cold.
That's cold. That's cold. She gets it. We all joke about each other being in the worst trailer down there, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What's on your mind, Sherry?
Triple wide.
What's going on, Sherry?
In York County, South Carolina, which is the main town, is Rock Hill. We actually have been having two or more meetings a month with the Democrats, and we had one last night, and people actually stood up and gave their full name.
Wow, so it's not secret anymore.
It's
this is like, you know what this is like? This is like gay people meeting in the 50s in closed doors. You know what
right.
I mean? You know, or blacks meeting in the 30s. You know what I mean? Hiding from the Klan and all that stuff.
Thank you so much for your call, Sherry. We got a couple of emails here. I'm a Southern liberal in Chapel Hill listening to your show with Jim David. I grew up in Gastonia, where the men and the sheep are nervous. And I wonder which town Jim is from. Did you say which town?
I'm from Asheville. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina.
Jim David,
Western.
Speaking to you right
there.
Here we go. Jim might be right for North Carolina, but here in South Carolina, it remains utterly, horribly, insanely right-wing and continues to be so. Sorry about that.
You know, I'm sorry about the neighborhoods that they're in.
There's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. These are your marching orders for today. Get your pencils and notebooks. One. When kids are playing house, remind them that most couples have extramarital affairs, so urge them to start swapping. Two, at the supermarket, when asked paper or plastic, answer, what's the difference? Bush is going to kill us all anyway. Three, make joblessness and prison torture sound like issues we should get all worked up over. Four, to even the playing field, distribute stolen internet term papers to inner city schools. Five, protest the draft, the NFL draft. Have a great day, folks. Do what you will. Thank you, Jim David,
for being here.
It's great having you.
Thank you, Mark.
Jim David.
All right. Coming up on Morning Tradition next week, we'll talk with Roland Emmerich, the director of Independence Day and the new environmental disaster movie, The Day After Tomorrow. Join us for Morning Tradition next week here on Air America Radio. See ya.
Travelocity's 5th annual cruise super sale has been extended. It's the biggest cruise sale ever.
Indeed. I've already eaten my weight in lobster scampi.
Save on every cruise line and destination. Get up to $300 cash back and up to $100 more when you book with your MasterCard.
How clever.
Hurry. The sale ends March 4th, 2004. Call 1-800-222-3690. Visit travelocity.com/supersale or AOL keyword cruise. Restrictions apply. See site for offer details.
Book with Travelocity. Don't forget your hat.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right, ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio.